If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Howdy, howdy. Looks like it might turn cloudy.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
And the prayers of a grateful nation are answered.
Why do you like doing this to yourself?
Because I have a lot of money. I'm not going to show my life.
Tell me you're going to stop drinking. Tell me right now. Or I'm not going to talk to you ever again. And I will totally disown you because it's not fair to admit your family what you're doing.
I'll be fine.
What's his appeal?
This is a mess.
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way, along the way, psychologically.
This is a mess.
You have made bad choices.
This is a mess.
And now,
are you addicted to drugs?
I'll be fine.
Our feature presentation.
David Bowie is still doing some great things.
Okay.
Did you see him on SpongeBob SquarePants? Did an episode, an hour special of SpongeBob. SquarePants in Atlantis. Then there's a new David Bowie box set out. Came out on Columbia, like the 90s years and the 80s.
Hey, Roddy,
we're and, of course, he's got this fashion out now over at Target. He's inspired some fashion. You can get it at Target.
Yeah.
And plus, he's been in the studio. He's been writing some more great new music.
How much
little birthday present
hear?
For David Bowie. Anyway, be back right after this.
No, you won't.
That's okay. That's fine.
It's more than I ever needed to know.
I love Rodney.
Rodney loves David Bowie, too. I mean, that's about it. Next to Brian Wilson, I think David Bowie is his favorite performer.
Oh, is that right? It's as big as it gets?
Yeah.
He also talked a lot about Elvis, who would have been whatever, whenever.
Right. 73 yesterday, yeah.
He just kept going on and on about that.
I'd like to say hello to all the Brian Wilson fans in Australia
okay.
who are streaming online right now.
A lot of them.
You can go see Brian in Australia. Either Sydney or Melbourne and cities around Australia.
Melbourne. Yeah. Melbourne is a very beautiful city. If you're going to see him, that's the place to go.
Yeah. Sure.
Bean, yesterday was Elvis's birthday? Would have been?
January 8th. So was that yesterday or the day
before?
Yeah,
it was yesterday.
Oh, that explains it. The Lakers played Memphis last night in Memphis. And when they panned in the crowd, all the concession stand guys, all the ushers, everything had Elvis. Like costume, like full Elvis.
There you go.
Uniforms. And
if you don't know that it's Elvis's birthday, you're going, what the hell's going on?
When do we stop? When he's going to be 100?
I don't
when?
Know.
When?
It,
what's
it,
never
stops. It is Memphis. That's why. But I just assumed, I didn't know it was birthday. So I'm like, do they do that every day in Memphis? Is that how into Elvis they are? Like, wow.
He gets bigger every year, Lisa. That's the thing about Elvis. I mean, the guy sells millions of records a year. It's unbelievable how much he has sustained his popularity since his death.
It is unbelievable.
Crazy.
And what I want to know is when we hit the point of a natural death, can we then stop? Like 85.
Oh, you mean like
then
right.
most people
okay,
don't
he should have died
that.
By now, you
yeah.
mean? Yeah.
Can
no.
we stop counting?
No.
I mean,
Elvis?
Oh, he'd be 120 today. Is that really legitimate?
Elvis? No way.
I don't think so. I think Elvis is forever.
But there are some people, Lisa, like James Dean and Marilyn Monroe, that just they die young and stay young forever, and no one ever gets over them. What happened to Kevin? Did he just get hit in the head
I don't
with something?
Know.
No, I just got dive bombed by a bee. How did the bee get in here?
A pterodactyl sized moth.
What is it?
Just went straight into Kevin's face.
You know why, Kevin? He wants to get the chocolate
on my face?
Off your mouth.
Mm.
He walked in with this big smear. I thought he cut himself.
No,
it's chocolate.
This is amazing.
Yeah. I bleed chocolate. Sorry, I didn't mean to dive, but I was just almost got right hit right between the eyes.
Well,
there's
good.
A moth in the studio?
I don't know what it is.
You have to
I
go through like
it.
10 doors to get into that studio. That's weird. How did that happen?
Lisa, you didn't even see it?
I didn't see it
you
anywhere.
Saw it, Mike.
It was huge.
Okay,
I did not see it.
It was like the size of your head.
Well, where is it now?
I don't know.
It knows we're talking about it, so it's hiding.
It's nowhere.
I thought it was an eclipse at first. It just the sun went out.
Maybe
I couldn't figure out what happened there.
I don't know.
That's what she said.
Hey, real quick, I know we have a very, very busy show, but I have to ask Psycho Mike a health-related question.
Okay.
No one will blame me for doing it on the air because that way I don't have to have a conversation with him off the air.
Sure.
Or my personal time. I'm at the chiropractor yesterday. I've been having some back trouble this week, and he has this new little machine in his office, and I don't remember what it's called, but you put your hand on it, and it runs a scan of your hand and your skin, I guess, and it has to do with counting free radicals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
And then I guess the reason he has that machine in there is because then they print you out a scan or something. And they say, well, you clearly need help with your antioxidant medication or whatever it is. And then they want to sell you some pills. I mean, that's the whole point of the thing, right? Is they want to sell you something to improve. But I don't understand what the free radicals are, what the antioxidant is, what it has to do with my skin, why it's good or why it's bad. Can you fill me in a few seconds?
Free radicals are artificial and damaging particles inside your body that develop from oxidation, food that's not good for you or environmental.
Being out in the sun, right?
Right, environmental stuff. So,
and they're not just normal. They're radical. They play by their own rules.
You can't catch them. They're free.
No.
They're free. And you use antioxidants because it's from oxidative stress to combat them. So.
Is it legit what they're talking about, trying to improve that score, whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of free radicals in your body is directly related to how unhealthy or healthy you are. I mean, so it's diet, like I said, environmental stuff, and, you know, the type of smog or sunlight that you've been exposed to, and then also the stuff you put in your body, artificial stuff.
But, Bean, why would you care? Because your New Year's resolution each year is to exercise less.
Right.
And more, right.
You don't really watch what you eat.
Right. Well, I was just curious because I like technology, and I saw this scan machine there, and I said, well, I got to try that. I got to see what that's all about.
Can they do that with just looking at your hand with some kind of an X-ray thing?
That's well out of my league. I don't know. Maybe that machine works, maybe not. I would have guessed that the best way to get gauge on how many free radicals in your body would be through urine and blood.
But, right. That's what you would think. Right?
I don't
yeah, they said, we talked that guy. It was a copy machine. That's all it was.
I know. That's what I'm wondering about. But anyway, they told me I should buy these pills, and they also said I could increase it by taking multivitamins and eating more fruits and vegetables and that sort of thing. So that's kind of bogus.
Which you're not going to do. Again.
Yeah, vitamins and fruits and vegetables. What kind of health advice is that? That's just crazy talk
that
right
is.
There.
That's just
that's
them
not
going to
help anyone.
That's just
I said,
them
you mean
to
like.
You.
You mean like Cap'n Crunch? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you get the Crunch Berries.
Oh, there you go. See, that's fruit, right?
Yeah.
Captain Crunch, not good for you. Crunch Berries, free radicals. Oh, wait, those are bad.
Yeah,
antioxidants.
Antioxidants.
Full of antioxidants.
So I should just ignore his advice, which is what I was planning on doing anyway, Mike? That's what you're saying?
Yes, of course. More Captain Crunch, more Pop-Tarts. But for those of you listening out there who really do care, don't waste your money investing in antioxidant pills and stuff. If you do get the amount, the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables, you will be fine. Your body will be fine.
But nobody gets the recommended amount. Nobody. They want you to eat 5 servings a day of fruits and vegetables. The government
does.
I was going to say,
nobody eats 5.
I might be in the small club of people who actually do.
The fruits and vegetable police need to back off.
Tell me how you can eat 5 times a day, Lisa, vegetables.
I have an apple in the morning. No, fruits and vegetables. So apple in the morning, an orange later in the day. I have 2 vegetables, like some green beans and some squash. With my lunch, and I have a salad at dinner. Boom.
That's crazy talk.
It didn't sound very crazy when she said it.
It's not that difficult.
It sounded crazy to me. All right. Well, how about chocolate milk? Is that good for you?
Yes. Yeah, that's the best, actually.
Because it's milk.
Right.
No, in fact, you know, it's even better. Drink the milk that's left over after you have Cocoa Pebbles.
So that is good. Because then you get the chocolatey goodness from the Cocoa Pebbles.
And the nutrition of the pebbles.
And if your milk's about to turn, put the chocolate in it.
That's right. Bean told us that he does that.
That's what I do.
Sometimes if his milk is turning, he'll put chocolate powder in it and make chocolate milk.
To disguise it.
Yeah, so that he doesn't realize it's turning.
I had eggnog yesterday that expired on Christmas Day. And boy, did that need a lot of chocolate. I'll tell you to go down smooth.
What's wrong with you? It was the 8th yesterday.
He wants to die. Clearly he wants to die.
14 days past the date.
I'm trying to get that machine in my chiropractor's office to register 0. That's what I'm going for. Do everything I can to get a 0
score. By the way, that's my other question is, why does your chiropractor check your antioxidants or free radicals or whatever?
He is very into preventative medicine. He's really one of those guys who preaches a lot about ways to be healthy so that you don't need chiropractic service. And I think he's expanding his business, too. I think Lisa's right. I think they're, if he goes in several different directions, he's more likely to have something that you need or want.
If you need heart surgery, you're going to go to him? Brain surgery?
I don't think he's the guy.
Does everything on the side. I can do anything you want. Just put your hand on this little screen right here.
He's got a van he does surgery in the parking lot.
So. Good. He comes to you. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 9th of January. Let's talk about the program today. We got Drew Carey coming up. The Power of 10 is a game show that's coming back tonight on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fun one. That's just like Lick Lisa, pretty much.
Without the licking.
Without the licking, yeah.
Right.
Because it's Drew Carey. But anyway, they ask questions like what percentage of Americans would say they have seen their mother naked, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then people guess, and if you get close enough, you get to move on. You get to win money.
It's a fun game.
So we got Drew Carey coming up in about a half hour here on the World Famous K-Rock.
I'd also like to get a psychiatrist on to suggest maybe why that was the first example that came to Kevin's mind.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because I was watching an episode of it yesterday and saw that question. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Darn
it. What do you think? I can ad lib that?
I was just wondering.
No, that was on the show. I promise.
Okay.
And we also have Breakfast with Foo Fighters tickets today. You know, we're running out of time. We got today. We got tomorrow. We got Friday.
That's it. Yeah.
And then Monday morning, our breakfast is going to happen. So if you don't get tickets, you can listen to it here on K Rock on the between 5:30 and 10. We're going to do the whole show from the Troubadour and. And then we're going to do the breakfast.
Very cool.
Should be fun. I don't know if you saw Bean, but Jimmy Kimmel, who we have highlights of coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, last night talked to the two fatty fat fats that got banned from the buffet in Louisiana.
Oh, no, I did not see that.
And that was quite funny. And they are just Louisiana good old boys.
Yeah.
Yep.
How fat are they?
Well, they're not. They're big.
Yeah.
They're not like fat, 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 but they're giant guys.
They can still walk.
You could see that they could put away like 10 people's worth of food.
Oh, geez.
They were eating more than their share, for folks who didn't hear the story. Yeah. And the restaurant basically turned on them and said, you've got to start paying more. You can't come in here for this all-you-can-eat low price because that's just for people with regular appetites.
Right. It's all you can eat.
Yeah. But didn't they say they were eating like the most expensive stuff, all the shrimp and stuff? And they were going in like 3 days a week.
I was eating shrimp balls. I got myself a big old plate of shrimp balls. Oh, what's a shrimp ball?
I don't know.
How do they make it into a ball? But anyway, those two guys are very funny. Hopefully we'll have time to squeeze that in this morning as well. And we got to check in on David Bowie and Stephen Hawking.
Why?
Two guys whose birthday it was yesterday.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, which really kind of ruins the whole, you know, astrology thing. Because really, David Bowie and Stephen Hawking.
What do they have in common?
They had an Elvis-themed birthday party.
Not exactly the same guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard this or not, but the state of New Jersey has apologized for slavery.
Well, that's awfully nice of them.
So,
and timely, too.
Timely. That's good. We like to see that. Mm-hmm. So we'll give you some more details on that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we have Ralph Showbiz Beat next. I was flipping around the TV channels, and I came across Foo Fighters doing a, I don't know, some kind of a concert special high-def thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I start watching it, and it's Dave and all the guys, and they're in a canoe in the middle of a lake. And I don't know why, what's going on with it, or how come they decided to do that, but he's singing, and they have, you know, oars, and they're just out there in the middle of the lake. And then there's another canoe next to them with, like, a violin player and, Taylor playing the drums. And I could not figure out for the life of me why they had to do that song in a lake.
Huh.
They only perform on water now. I don't know if you know that. But, yeah, we're going off Long Beach Harbor on Monday to do the breakfast with. Yeah, that's one of their new concert riders. I don't understand it either, but that's how they want to do it.
Really bizarre.
Anyway, your chance to win your way into the Breakfast with Foo Fighters coming up soon here on K-Rock Plus. Comedian and game show host Drew Carey joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
I've got special K-Rock screening passes to see the advanced showing of Cloverfield, a movie I've been looking forward to ever since November, I guess it was, when I saw the teaser trailer in front of the Transformers. This promises to be one of the biggest movie events of the year, certainly of the early year. And if you'd like to go and see it before anybody else, it's going to be Thursday, January the 17th at the Grove. The movie actually opens on the 18th, so you get to see it before anybody else. So this comes to you from producer J.J. Abrams, who put the whole thing together, and it promises to be very, very cool. I've been talking about this movie and saying how much I can't wait to see it.
Right.
So the kind and insane people at Paramount Pictures called yesterday and said, well, why don't we just do a screening for you if you want? And I said, oh, that'd be great. I said, yeah, we'll just put it in a movie theater, like 175 seats.
Just for you?
Yeah. I was like, can I invite some people? I said, unless you want to sit in an empty movie theater, you can.
Dude.
So I'm going to see it Tuesday next week.
Can people massage you and bring you...
and feed me grapes and stuff and dancing girls.
It's going to be fun. You should send out an invite and then see who looks at it and who responds and who doesn't.
Actually, I did invite some people to come along, and you weren't on the list.
Oh, now B's just going to complain, and he wouldn't have come anyway.
I just assumed he wouldn't fly down from the island for a movie.
You think?
Yeah. So we'll talk about it next week. I can't wait to see Cloverfield. If you'd like to go, let's give two pairs of passes away right now. It's callers Well, how about it opens on the 18th, and you can see it on the 17th. So callers 17 and 18 right now, 1-800-520-1067. You get to see an advanced K-Rock screening of Cloverfield. And I can't wait to see that freaking monster. And people, stop sending me pictures and ideas of what you think the monster may look like. I don't want to see whatever you have to offer. I want to see it in the movie. When I see the movie, that's when I want
to
see it.
Yeah, I like to be surprised, too.
I don't
want to
see your sketches. I don't want to see, oh, maybe it looks like this. Or, well, I took this photograph. Or I heard this is going to look like this toy. Maybe this is the toy version. I don't want it. I don't want to see it. Stop sending it. Bean?
I just assumed, since you were talking so much about what it could possibly be yesterday, that you might be interested in it.
Yeah. I don't want to know, though, either. I want to be surprised when I get there.
I want to see the movie and then see the creature on the screen. That's the part I'm more fascinated with.
I hope it does start a whole new, like, series of these movies. And
I do, too.
J.J. Abrams does them all.
Love me some monster movies. Ah, speaking of monsters, Eminem has ballooned up to 212 pounds.
What was that?
Yeah, he's a big old fat person now.
Wow.
TMZ.com says he was rushed to the hospital over the holidays for a serious heart condition and severe pneumonia.
Wow.
That's bad news.
Kevin, you're going to have to start gaining a lot of weight, though, in your quest to continue to look like Eminem.
How are you going
to
match him?
He's a skinny little dude.
Didn't he weigh like
120, maybe?
I never weighed him.
Well, I don't know either.
I'm guessing he was probably
thin. He seemed small, was the point.
He was not a big guy.
That's correct.
He was not corpulent.
Correct, yes.
Well, now he's a big old fat person. 212 pounds. Slim Shady? I don't think so. If they remake that, I'm the stout Shady. I'm the portly Shady. That doesn't quite have the same ring, does it? Congratulations to Jack Black and his wife, Tanya. She has announced that she is pregnant with the couple's second child. They already have a one-year-old son. And so they're going to have another addition to the family. How much fun would it be to have Jack Black as your dad?
You would think, right?
No, he'd just be just nuts. Just putting oatmeal on his head for your entertainment and stuff. Just doing everything. Good times. Let's take a moment, by the way, and celebrate this day in history, shall we?
Oh, okay. What happened on
this? 1951, on Wednesday, not Wednesday, of course, but January the 9th, the first X-rated film was shown in movie theaters.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, there you go.
It was shown in London, and it was a French film, Natch, because they like their sex.
Will you
French.
Stop saying Natch?
No. I don't think so.
Bugs me.
I know.
All right.
That's just going to spur me on, you realize.
I know.
It is called La Vie Commence Demain, which in translated means life begins tomorrow. But tonight, I bang you.
Is that it?
Okay, explain the pink.
So, just wanted to give a little historical fact in the world of sex movies.
Fantastic.
Speaking of sex movies, Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't thrilled with the fact that Amy Fisher has entered the career of porn. As I mentioned earlier this week, Amy Fisher will be releasing her own home sex tape and trying to make some money off of that. She is currently publicizing that. Mary Jo said, "This is a case of an assassin trying to cash in off of trying to commit murder." I guess that is kind of what she's known for.
Yeah, well, pretty much it.
17-year-old Amy did shoot her in the head when she was having an affair with her then-husband, Joey Buttafuoco. Speaking of which, I hope you're not eating.
Uh-oh.
But Joey Buttafuoco and his new wife have announced they will make their debut in the world of porn next month.
Oh, what was that? No.
Joey and his wife are also making their own sex film to be sold.
No.
I'm not crazy about seeing that, but I do hope this sparks a new trend where celebrities get back at one another by releasing dueling sex tapes.
Who you say dueling or ghouling?
Joey Buttafuoco's naked hairy ass.
No one. Not one person.
Think anyone.
No. Leonardo DiCaprio, of course, is dedicated to saving the planet, and he's starting where it counts. I'm very jealous.
Where does it count?
His toilet.
What?
In Touch magazine reports that he just had a $3,200 water-saving toilet installed in his home. And you know what it is?
No.
It's the Toto.
Of course it is.
Oh, that's the one you were going on and on about.
I'm so jealous. Yeah. This model has not only the water-saving option, but also comes complete with the heated seat and the jet spray bidet option that cleanses your hinder.
Yeah, I don't really.
And a blow dryer.
I don't want.
It's the most awesome toilet in the world.
And a curling iron.
Oh, it's the best toilet ever.
Is there a TV attached, Ruff?
Yeah, for your ass. It's in the bowl.
Really?
While you're sitting down, your ass can watch television.
How about that?
That's how completely it is fully functional to please your
chocolate starfish.
Who's got $3,000 for a toilet?
Oh, I don't know. Leonardo DiCaprio does.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. He probably thought that was cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just so jealous. Love me the Toto toilets. And Hugh Hefner, our buddy Hugh Hefner. I don't want to give anything away, but we'll be seeing you soon.
Yes, we will.
In the coming year.
And you, God
might be
willing.
You might be able to come with us. How about that?
That's great.
He has did an interview for the Post Chronicle newspaper and said that, yes, he plans to eventually commit to a monogamous relationship with Holly Madison, who is the queen bee of his trio of girlfriends.
Eventually.
Kendra and Bridget, yeah.
How long is he going to wait?
Well, you know, they're talking about marriage, so maybe after that fact he'll settle down with just the one. However, Hef says that he wants to make history in bed, and he plans to have a vigorous sex life until he's 100 years old, at least.
Fantastic.
Good for you, Hef.
For him.
Yeah. It's good for him. It's good for everybody, Lisa.
Yes, it is.
I would not want to participate.
Oh, stop it.
Wrong. Lisa, what's your number?
You'd be lucky to have Hef.
What is my number?
I'd like to suggest that we're going to be...
50?
You know.
Dollars?
Going there.
No. Age.
Soon...
Yeah.
People?
I understand.
Okay.
Lisa, what's your number?
So don't knock the hat.
You're talking
what you're
about
saying.
Age, right?
No, I'm talking about how much would we have to pay you to have sex with Hugh Hefner.
Oh, well, I'm not that disgusted. Give me $1 million. I'm in.
You want me for 900?
No.
Okay. Not 900.
Thousand, he means.
Oh, I see. No.
I thought you meant $900.
Cheaping her down, yeah.
Well, you said $1 million. I thought 900 would keep it in the ballpark.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? A.J. McLean from the Backstreet Boys is 30 years old today. Dave Matthews, singer-songwriter, is 41 years old today. J.K. Simmons is 53. Here's the nice thing about the birthdays. You get a chance to talk about performers and actors that ordinarily wouldn't have a reason to talk about.
That's true.
But J.K. Simmons is definitely one of my favorite actors by far.
He's
the guy
awesome.
Is always great in everything he does.
I don't know who that is.
Remember him as J.J. Jameson from the Spider-Man movies. He plays the editor-in-chief of the Daily Bugle.
The old cranky dude.
He was on Oz, of course. He was in Law & Order, played the psychologist on that show for many years.
Now he's on The Closer.
He's on The Closer. He plays the head of the department there on that show. And he can be seen as Juno's dad in the movie Juno.
That's right.
And he is just a terrific, terrific actor. He's 53 years old today. And Buster Poindexter.
Yeah.
David Johansen. Of course, David Johansen from the New York Dolls and Buster Poindexter just from being cool everywhere. Hot, hot, hot. Good lyric.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Yeah. How do you not shake your
Feeling
ass?
Hot, hot, hot.
Gotta shake your ass when you hear that song. You have to.
You do.
It's the law. You have to shake it. And in Scrooge, remember in Scrooge, as the Ghost of Christmas Past driving the cab?
No, I don't remember that movie at all.
Are you crying, Frankie?
Love him. Love him so much.
Too much, some would say.
You know who else was in Scrooge?
No.
Ellen!
She was?
And Ramsey, yeah, she was in that
movie. No.
Yeah. It was chock full of good performance.
Watch that again.
He's 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got more tickets for our Breakfast with Foo Fighters, which is Monday. You could join us at the Troubadour, which is a pretty tiny little place.
Mm-hmm.
You think for a band that can sell out as many nights as they care to at Staples Center or the Forum, they could probably sell out the Rose Bowl if they wanted to at this point. Yet they're playing for us at the Troubadour.
And that's the cool thing about it is you'll be that close to them. And we also wander through the crowd with a microphone. And if you have questions, we let you also ask questions of the band.
Yes.
Here's one of the things I love, and we've been very lucky to do a number of these breakfast shows over the years here at K-Rock. It's a long tradition at the Kevin and Bean Show of Breakfast with, and a lot of them, by the way, I won't say all, but most of them certainly are up at K-Rock.com. You can go back and listen to them if you missed it. We'll be in a room that's, you know, 10 foot by 10 foot. So the furthest person from the band is about 9 feet away, okay? Yet every single person will try to cram into the 1 foot in front of the band.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, how close do you need to be?
You could reach up and touch them, and yet they're still angling for a better seat.
Exactly. But that is one of the reasons why we love doing it. And, of course, it's always fun for the fans to get a chance to ask the questions of the musicians that they've admired for so long. So, good times.
All right. We're going to talk to Drew Carey in a second. The show Power of 10 is back on CBS. It's tonight at 8 o'clock. And this is a game show that is a pretty fun show to watch. We have Drew Carey on the phone. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How have you been?
I've been great. I still have a scar on my arm.
I was thinking about you yesterday. The last time we talked to Drew was right after he had that tragic Price is Right accident, and you you emailed us the photos of your arm, and my God, it looked so much worse than I thought it would be.
It was terrible. It looked really bad. I take, you know, I think it looks so bad because I take a lot of blood thinners because of my heart.
Right.
So any kind of little, like if I play paintball, I have like these spectacular all over my body.
Yeah, but.
But I thought it was broken the first day. And I still have a scar on my arm. It won't go away.
You should count your blessings because I don't bruise. So I can be hurting a lot. And people look at it and go, well, whatever. It didn't bruise.
No big deal.
You're not. You can't possibly be hurt.
Yeah. Oh, you don't bruise at all?
No.
You have extra thick blood?
Like I guess. I don't know what the story is.
Oh.
Drew, what's going on with your heart? Are you all right, dude?
Yeah, I had heart surgery right before 9/11.
I remember that, but you healed. I mean, you came back. You can still do everything you normally can do, right?
Yeah, but I take my doctor has me on blood thinners. I lost a lot of I went on a really healthy diet and stuff after that, and then for some reason I just quit eating healthily and gained all my weight back.
I like you just gave up. All right, you know what? I've been living well. I'm going to eat now.
Yeah.
So tell me how you like being a full-time game show host versus the many years you spent as an actor versus the many years you spent as a stand-up guy.
I love being a game show host. I have to say, it seems like everything in my life prepared me for being the host of The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Power 10, but mostly The Price is Right, 'cause that's what I'm doing. I do that most of the week, and it's so much fun. I have to say, everybody's so positive and happy in the studio audience, and it's so good for me to be in all that positive energy and all this love swirling around me every day.
What's weird is when you start thinking about where your life is going to go. I don't think any of us go, I might eventually end up as the host of The Price is Right.
No, it's weird. You know, I was talking about somebody in the audience on The Price is Right yesterday because I always ask people what their jobs are and how they got there. It's amazing how many, even like your jobs, how many jobs that people have where somebody goes, hey, you want to do this? And you go, oh, all right. Like, you're not doing anything else.
Right.
I'll be a DJ. Right. And next thing you know, that's what you're doing the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Now, The Price is Right is something you could see yourself doing for 40 years, right?
Well, I don't know about 40. I'm going to be 50 in May.
So you'll be 90 years old hosting The Price is Right.
Hey, Bob Barker was practically. Come on.
Coming out to host The Price is Right.
It's interesting that you talk about the positivity because one of the things that people love about that show is it is kind of like a happy spot on the TV dial compared to everything else that's so negative. But that's why you're such a good fit for it because you're kind of a super positive, uplifting guy anyway.
I am lately, especially, yeah. I'm so happy lately. I feel like changing my name. Honestly, I'm not even the same guy.
Changing your name to what?
I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was telling somebody I should change it to World Be Free.
Would you please do that? That would be awesome.
It does
World Be Free
seem like
the name of a real famous basketball player. He used to play for the Cavaliers.
I like it.
Oh,
it all comes back to Cleveland, doesn't it?
It always does. Hey, are the Browns playing Saturday or Sunday? I couldn't find him in the playoff schedule, Drew.
Ha ha.
Nicely done.
Right after Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. That had to hurt you too. All right, let's get in the
play. My internet account been on Ohio State. I thought they were going to win for sure. Over. But I didn't have the Ohio State part.
And it was not close, but it was kind of hard not to root for. I mean, it'd be hard for an Ohio State fan, but for the rest of it, it's kind of hard not to root for the Tigers. I mean, those kids really have heart. That's a good team right there.
And stuff. You want to see New Orleans have something.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
One of the right models, Rachel Reynolds, she's from she went to LSU. And I have a $100 bet with her, but she was texting me during the game. She was down at the game with her boyfriend. And she was talking trash to me the whole game.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Who are you texting? Stop it. We're at a game. Texting Drew Carey.
Well, it was before the game and after the game.
I'm going to burn his ass.
To her credit, because she's a good sports fan. She wasn't that person who's texting it on their phone when the game was on.
Yeah, that's our friend Dave.
Exactly.
Want
to be that guy.
Yeah.
Let's get in the plug because Mr. Carey is on the line to remind you that the Power of 10 returns tonight with an all-new episode at 8 o'clock on CBS. I believe we have a clip of the show.
We do, as a matter of fact. This is one of the questions that I saw yesterday that I found quite funny.
What percentage of Americans have seen their mother naked?
That's the kind of stuff he asks, and then they have to guess what percentage, and I saw this yesterday, and I don't remember what it was. Drew, do you remember the answer to that?
No.
I think it was like 44% or something like that.
People remember that far back in their childhood?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I don't, that
I
is
totally
shocking.
Remembered seeing my mom naked.
Maybe it's a girl.
As a kid, you know, when they take showers together and stuff all the time.
Maybe it's a girl thing.
But he's not even 3 years old yet, so he'll never remember that.
Yeah,
right.
No, now, Lisa,
but maybe it's a girl thing. Maybe moms dress
moms
in front of girls more than...
With their daughters, it's not a big deal.
But that's the kind of question that they ask, and then the people have to get as close as possible to it, and then they can move on.
Yeah. I know guys that that said their dad used to walk around the house naked.
Yeah.
Did your dad do that?
No.
No.
My dad
used
walked
to walk around,
around
the house in his underwear.
I would have moved out.
My dad would walk around with a t-shirt but no underwear, like just to get up and use the bathroom, and he just kind of tuck his
did it cover
t-shirt
everything?
Down.
Really? He would pull the t-shirt over everything?
Uh-huh, and hold it as he walked.
What a lazy bastard.
Oh, my God.
When I hear the stories, like, you think your parents are that, it's so gross. But then when you know friends of yours that are parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, you shouldn't be a parent.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right, right.
I have memories of you like that.
Hey, Drew, I know what I wanted to ask you, and I love this about your show, is, and this is true of Deal or No Deal or any of the other Gabe shows, when you get the family participation, for instance, you'll have a contestant up there who's got a big decision to make, and the family is screaming and yelling and jumping up and down with advice as if they have any idea what to do.
Right.
Do you ever see the family members in just total opposition with one another, like really get into a fight over it?
No. They're usually like, and there's always one one family member that's the dominant one anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So like the kid that won $1 million on our first show that we aired, there was a kid that won $1 million. He was 19, and his mom was screaming for him to go for it.
Uh-huh.
And his dad was his special guy that he had off to the side.
Right.
And his dad was like, I don't know, I think you should keep the money. And his mom was in the audience, no, go for the money. And then I found out that the mom and dad were divorced.
Oh.
Yes.
So well, and there was other people besides the mom in the audience, but you could tell that he was like focusing in on that one person. And that's happened before in the show where they'll have like a mom and cousins and sister, and it's always one of them who's like, listen to me. Ignore everybody else.
Right, yeah. Sure.
I'm the one.
And they're right. Almost never, you know, right more than anyone else either.
No, but they, you know, they get their say-so in.
Yeah. You get less hell if you go with them.
Yeah, true.
That's
exactly.
Everybody's ever been in a high school play and seen their parents in the audience? That's what it's like, probably.
You really can win $1 million as a contestant on the show, and it's a lot of fun, too. Power of 10, Wednesday nights at 8. That's tonight on CBS, and, of course, The Price is Right every weekday, also on CBS at 11. Drew, we love you, man. It's always great to catch up with you, and Happy New Year to you, dude.
Okay, I wish I had some gross pictures to send you, but I don't.
So do we, but that's okay. Thank you, Drew.
Bye.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Cease and desist.
Well, how do they base that? What's the...
I have no idea.
Legal.
Yes.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think that was a well-asked question.
You really should have been a lawyer.
No problem with that.
I would love to see you in a courtroom in front of a jury.
I'd
like to see you defending someone's life.
Thank you, Ralph.
Yes.
Didn't you want to be a lawyer at some point, Kevin? Wasn't that part of the dream?
It's one of the things, besides president, that I am convinced that I would have been good at.
Really? How could you be so wrong twice in a row?
I'm consistent. That's
those
how.
Those two things. Those are the two things I'd be good at. You couldn't be worse at either of those.
How dare you?
I thought one would get closer to the truth than the
other.
How
dare you? We have breakfast with Foo Fighters. We're not going to do it right this second, but in about 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
First thing we're doing right now is giving away some tickets to a spectacular opportunity to see an advanced screening of Cloverfield, the new monster movie coming out from producer J.J. Abrams. J.J. got this idea when he was in Japan. His young son, they went into a toy store and they saw all the Godzilla toys and said, you know what? America needs its own freaking sort of Godzilla thing. So he's come up with it and we get to see it in Cloverfield. And the whole movie's shot from the viewpoint of the people who go through the experience, which I think is a really clever way to do it.
Yeah. You can't really see what it is, I'm sure, at first. And
I'm sure,
you're trying to figure out with everyone
else.
They're
all sort of at a party. The guy's going away. It's a going away party. And then all of a sudden, something attacks Manhattan, and everything goes to hell in a handbasket. And
this looks good.
You remember how good that was in the Blair Witch Project?
Oh, yeah.
That sort of point of view? I mean, it's the same kind of mentality, obviously on a bigger budget with a better payoff. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of passes right now. Callers 5 and 6, 1-800-520-1067. Callers 5 and 6 that get through will get a pair of passes to see the special K-Rock advanced screening of Cloverfield. You get to see it before anybody else. And then Friday, you get to go when the movie opens and people are in line and just scream what the monster looks like.
I know what it is.
For everyone, like people are trying to do with me.
By the way,
sketches.
If you have theories, send them to ralph@krock.com.
Not interested in your theories, your
especially
sketches,
pictures.
Any
kind of
photographs.
Just krock.com, ralph@krock.com.
Something you've done in finger paint. dead, something, you know, in the back of a milk carton, you think you may have found the Cloverfield monster? I'm just not interested.
You want to be surprised.
I do. A lot of anguish going on.
Why?
A lot of very upset teeny boppers. A lot of brouhaha.
What's going on?
Revolving around a video that was shot during the Miley Cyrus concert.
Okay.
That shows her ducking off stage to change costumes during the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a double appears on stage lip-syncing to her song while she's backstage changing. Fans are furious.
And people care about that?
Furious.
Just seems like theater, though. It seems like keep someone else out there on stage for 30 seconds while I go change clothes.
Oh,
I
mean,
no one's accusing her of not being able to sing.
Oh, Bean, how dare you? How dare you just give her a free pass on this?
What's the controversy?
She has duped her audience.
Who's angry about this?
Parents of the girls who went to see the concert.
Stop it.
Listen, Kevin, if you can't go to a Hannah Montana concert and expect the utmost in artistic integrity, what can you expect, sir?
Hell is wrong with these people. They don't have problems in their lives.
They're very upset that now it's been shown on YouTube. It's obvious that Miley steps off stage while a double takes her place to finish the song so she can make a costume change in time.
F them.
So.
You don't
State
get it,
of New
man.
Jersey just issued an apology, by the way. I'm just getting this word now over the wire.
It's about believing in your artist. It's about believing what they're doing. It comes from the heart.
Shut up, Ralph.
I was like, if Springsteen came out and, baby, we were born to run, then he goes off and changes costume, and then some big fat black guy comes out and takes over for him.
I think I would like that.
Lip sync and do his songs.
I'd be a fan of that.
Springsteen hasn't changed his clothes in 30 years.
That's true.
Jeans and a flannel shirt. That's what you
the
get.
Same jeans. In more related Teeny Bopper TV news. This is funny. This is pretty funny. Nickelodeon was shaken to their core when Jamie Lynn Spears announced the fact that she was knocked up at 16 years old.
Why?
Here's the thing. They were thinking, look, soon-to-be unwed mothers, probably not good for kids' television.
Okay.
Whore! So they shot, they had just finished the fourth season, and they announced that will be the final season of Zoe 101. They're not going to do any more of those episodes. Here's what they didn't expect. Ratings for Zoe 101 have skyrocketed since she announced that she's pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Yay! Really? The latest episode raked in a record 7.2 million viewers.
Whore.
The theory is that people want to see the baby sister of Britney Spears progress through her pregnancy while watching Zoe 101.
And part of the problem that they're having is that you can't write that into the plot line of Zoe 101.
No, you cannot. You cannot have her get the baby bump and say, ooh, Zoe, cut down on the Twinkies and ding-dongs, you're getting fat.
But didn't she just come out and announce it a couple weeks ago? I mean, she shot the whole thing, I'm sure, without showing.
No, I'm sure she doesn't show in this particular season.
Well, then
maybe
why?
Maybe towards the end. I don't know when they finished filming. But it's interesting that Nickelodeon was concerned that it would be a detriment to the program, when in reality it is fostering its greatest ratings ever.
She's more famous than ever before, and probably some new people are watching the show now that they've heard about her.
They know she puts out.
That's right.
That's right. Maybe they got a shot. Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita, as she was known years ago when she was 17 years old and tried to shoot her boyfriend's wife in the head.
Did shoot her in the head, didn't she?
Tried to kill her, I guess, but didn't really finish that job.
Right.
Just sort of made her all facey now.
Kind of a half-hearted kill.
She shot Dick Clark in the face, too. That's what happened to him.
She did. She's got a new porn movie coming out, and when asked about it, her victim, Mary Jo Buttafuoco, was not impressed by the career change. She said it's an assassin trying to cash in off of trying to commit murder. She says by Amy using her publicity to sell porn. In a related story, in a much more disturbing story, Joey Buttafuoco himself has announced that he and his new wife will make their debut in the world of porn next month with the release of their celebrity sex tape. And I use that phrase loosely.
No.
With a name like Buttafuoco, I'm very concerned as to what that tape might be.
Oh, no, you didn't. And speaking of celebrity sex tapes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a bit of a brouhaha going on.
Yes.
Another brouhaha? Two in one day?
Surrounding Victoria's Secret supermodel Adriana Lima. Now, Adriana has spoken out often about how proud she is of her virginity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this week on the internet, an alleged sex tape is making the rounds.
No way.
Now, the authenticity of the production has not yet been confirmed, But those who watch it say it looks absolutely like the lingerie model, Adriana Lima.
Boobs.
So we're still waiting for a comment from her camp regarding this videotape.
Please be true. Please be true.
I have not seen it yet, but even if it's a girl who looks like Adriana Lima, feel free to send along that link to me if you happen to know where it's residing on the web, because I'll
we'd like to verify that.
Frank at krock.com.
Oh, Mike. Oh, Mike. Oh, you are a clever, clever young man.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
And here's a cool thing you might want to check out if you're a comic book geek like me. Remember when Kevin Smith came in and told us about Gallery 1988?
Yeah.
Yes. This is the art gallery that did a series of original art all based on cult movies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I went down there and checked it out, and there were some amazing pieces down there. I actually bought one. And it was just great. This place does great work. Well, they've got a new exhibit that opens today, and it is all art influenced by Stan Lee, the creator of such legendary superheroes as Spider-Man and the Hulk and the X-Men, the Fantastic Four. It's all artists doing interpretations of either Stan or his work or how it has somehow influenced them. And there's some great pieces down there. If you want to check it out, it is at on Melrose, right near La Brea, 7020 Melrose Avenue, right next to a Golden Apple comic book store. I've seen some of the pieces, and some of them are very funny. Some are very cool. One has the Stan Lee fronting a rock band on stage. He's singing the microphone. He's got Spider-Man guitar and Wolverine on bass and the Incredible Hulk on drums. It's very, very funny. So if you're a comic book fan like I am, you might want to check that out. At Gallery 1988 is the name of the art gallery.
So
today's celebrity birthdays, A.J. McClain from the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got the right stuff. Isn't that them?
Is that them? I don't know.
That was New Kids on the Block.
Taking a guess. Just took a shot.
Not them.
Just took a shot.
No.
I have very little knowledge of boy bands.
You did miss.
He is 30 years old today. Dave Matthews turns 41. Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth is also 41 years old today. Hey, now.
You're an all-star.
You're an all-star.
Mm-hmm. Come on. True.
J.K. Simmons, one of my favorite actors, is 53 years old today. And Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist for Led Zeppelin, turns 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning, we are having breakfast with Foo Fighters, and you can listen to it or you can come down and join us and help be a part of it and help ask the questions.
I think it sounds like more fun to be there in person and ask the questions and have food and wish Dave Grohl a happy birthday that morning. That's what I think.
And that's why we're about to play.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So you're down with the rock music. You and Mrs. Announcer Man, you guys like Foo Fighters, right?
Oh, we love Foo Fighters.
Okay, good.
Who are they again?
That's what I thought. Well, Mr. Announcer Man, we have a lot of contestants on the line who are big fans of the group. Why don't you tell them how they're going to play the game and try to win the tickets?
It's very simple. We will play for you the title of a Foo Fighter song. All you need to do is identify that song and tell us what it is.
Seems easy.
Oh, I almost forgot. It'll be backwards.
No, we didn't.
That's hard.
All right, let's begin with, who do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up, we have Miguel from Bell Gardens. He coordinates her.
I think he's an HR coordinator.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Miguel, you ready?
Yep.
Here's your Foo Fighters song, backwards. You get it twice, so here's your second time. Foo Fighters song, what is it?
Get
it right, you go in the drawing, you may win the tickets to join us on Monday. Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy.
It's backwards, it's hard.
Miguel, we need a guess.
Pick a song.
Best of You?
Best of You is incorrect. It's
The Pretender.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what we were looking for.
That's
Thank
hard.
You for playing, Miguel.
That is hard.
I couldn't do it.
Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Let's talk to John from Highland Park. He's a printer. He should learn how to write in cursive.
I don't think that's what it means.
Sorry.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Here's your song backwards. Tell us what it is.
Fialiamo.
One more time.
Fialiamo.
Learning to fly.
All my life.
Oh, all my life. All right, cool.
Yeah, you were close. Thank you.
It's not cool. You didn't win. Let's talk to Paul. He's from Oxnard.
Hey, Paul.
I hate that word.
You hate Oxnard?
Oxnard.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Sounds like a wet fart.
Okay, Mr. Nelson, man. I don't Oxnard. Think that's the point. All right, here's your song backwards, Paul.
Lollervet.
You get it twice. Here it is again.
Lollervet.
Name of the Foo Fighters song.
Monkey Wrench.
Everlong.
Come on.
Sorry,
come
dude.
On with the monkey wrench.
This game is not easy, you guys.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Let's go to Andy in Los Angeles. Oops, Mr. Announcer Man, who do we have next?
Why not talk to Andy in Los Angeles?
Good call. Hey, Andy.
Good morning, guys.
Here's your song backwards.
I'm going to step out for some coffee.
No, you're needed. Don't think you're
okay.
Not. Here we go.
We bought Seb.
One more time, Andy. Here you go.
We bought Seb.
Times like these.
Best of you. Dude, but a good guess because it was the same number of syllables.
That's correct.
That's true.
That's correct.
All right. Let me ask a housekeeping question here, Mr. Announcing Man, before we get back to our next contestant.
I use
Kevin,
Pledge.
No, not that kind. Kevin, how many pairs of tickets do we have to give away here?
We could give away up to three.
Because we were going to do a drawing, I think, but I'm just wondering if now maybe we ought to just start giving them if people get them right.
We could do sudden death if you want.
Yeah.
Let's do sudden death.
Sudden death. All right. If you get it right, you win the tickets to the breakfast.
Let's talk to Enrique from NoHo.
Hey, Enrique.
Hey, how are you guys?
Do you guys in North Hollywood call it NoHo?
Not really. Yeah.
Okay, good. Here's your song backwards. Here you go.
Worry, yam.
One more time.
Worry, yam.
Foo Fighter song.
Monkey Wrench.
My hero.
Sorry.
A lot of Foo Fighters fans are listening to the radio right now, shaking their fists and screaming at the dashboard in their car, I suspect.
Let's talk to Tim in Huntington Beach. He's a framer.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's going on?
Nobody has gotten one right yet. If you get it right, you're going to join us at the breakfast, okay?
I would like to.
Here's a Foo Fighters song backwards.
Schnerrhegnum.
One more time.
Schnerrhegnum.
Monkey Wrench.
Monkey Wrench.
Look at that!
Way to go, Tim!
Boom!
If enough people guessed Monkey Wrench, eventually Monkey Wrench was going to come up, I guess.
He's the big winner!
Congratulations, Tim. We will see you on Monday for our breakfast with Foo Fighters.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin and B.
Once again, Mr. Dick Clark.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be back for another New Year's in New York.
Okay, we're out of time for that. We don't have time, unfortunately.
It's the Kevin DeBeach Show, K-Rock 106.7, KRQ 723. By the way, tomorrow morning on this show, J.J. Abrams will be here talking about the Cloverfield movie and the return of Lost later this month. How about that? Also, Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow and Scott Baio. So it's a hell of a program. Right now, we're pleased to welcome one of our own to the K-Rock studio. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jed the Fifth.
World famous K-Rock is here. How's it going, man? Jed, I was talking to the guy that wears his watch on the outside of his pants.
Yes.
And he says that you have new rules for your board op, for the guy that runs your board here at K-Rock. And I have to run these by you and see if they're true, because if they are, I love you even more than I thought.
You don't push your own buttons on your show in the afternoon, right? You have somebody else who actually plays the records, plays the commercials, takes the phone calls, that sort of thing, Jed?
It's weird because the British House of Commons is the lower house of Parliament.
What?
That's not what he asked, but okay. There's five rules that you have apparently put in place for your board op, for your intern. One of them is if you must chew gum, do so quietly.
It disgusts me. Much like the center mitochondrial particles of the Golgi apparatus.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Rule number two, do not eat or drink anything during your shift.
Balzinis.
I guess I can understand that if you tip over a drink or something on the electronic equipment, it probably would short out.
Benjamin Franklin had a rudimentary form of a microwave.
Number three, do not read anything Jed writes down on the music log. So apparently his intern was glancing at stuff that he wrote on the music log, and now Jed is now forbidding him to read that stuff.
It was mostly my manifesto.
Your manifesto.
I have long been convinced you are going to be the Unabomber one day, so I'm not surprised to hear you say that, Jed.
Your hair is stirring me, Kevin.
Number four, and this is might be one of my favorites, don't speak to Jed unless he speaks to you.
No, you didn't say. Look, you're not Prince,
this,
all right?
This is the stuff you hear about Prince or Michael Jackson or somebody like that. He can't talk to you unless you first address him?
No! Why do I want the mindless chit-chat? I've got work to do.
Then it comes on. It goes on. It says, no comments like, quote, good job, or, quote, that was funny. He's not allowed to even give you compliments?
No. Why would I want to? I don't want to hear him. I would be very happy if somehow K-Rock could invent a robot to run the board from across the room and just press the electronic buttons instead of having some person in here with me to look at me and smell me and chew gum sick.
Jed, why don't you just push your own buttons? That way you could be in the studio by yourself every
Ridiculous.
Day. Ridiculous. You wouldn't need interaction.
A DJ can't be expected to push buttons and talk on a radio at the same time. It's
by the way, I must have left out the best part of this. I just now realized it. No comments like good job or it was funny. It confuses Jed, is what it says.
I remember, Jed.
How are you confused by good job?
I was at Bonnaroo huffing paint with Graham Parsons, and he was talking to me about the idea that compression of music can actually destroy the quality of its dynamics.
Okay, and finally, and this is my favorite, when Jed is standing where I'm sitting right now in front of the controls, when he's standing here in front of the microphone, his intern has to go stand in the corner.
Out of his line of sight?
He can't stand. I don't know if it's out of his line of sight. One of the corners of the room. He can't stand where you are, Lisa.
That one's untrue. No one puts beer mug in the corner.
Thank you. And Carl. I'm saying it's her. I think it's her.
I'm saying I want it to be her,
Me
but
too.
It doesn't look enough
her.
Well, maybe it kind of does there.
Her.
No, it's not her.
I want to thank K-Rock listener Darren, who sent us the Adrian Lima sex tape, or at least that's how it's labeled. And now we're having a great deal of discussion about whether it's her or not. And I may have to see the video again to be sure.
Just it's not the Adriana Lima-ish sex tape.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
But
what do you think, Mike? You're the one who's obsessed with Adrian Lima even more than we are.
I can't decide whether it's her or not, but it looks enough like her that I don't care.
Those you don't recognize the name.
I think that's Kevin's
theory. She's a Victoria's Secret
anyway.
Supermodel. And she says she's a virgin, so this
well,
would be
not odd. According to this video. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
that is not virgin behavior right there. That thing that's happening right on this screen in front of me—that is not virgin behavior ever.
He damaged your dome, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
That happened.
It was.
Right?
It did look like it was raining there for a minute. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:35. Yesterday was a huge day, and I know we don't ordinarily point this out, but yesterday for celebrity birthdays, Ralph was so excited. It was a huge day because a couple of his favorites were celebrating birthdays yesterday. And I believe we have them on the phone. I believe we have both of the birthday boys from yesterday on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Is this a Dr. Stephen Hawking?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, good morning to you, Doctor. You were what, like 66 or something yesterday? How are you feeling?
I feel great. I've never been more active.
Oh, is that right?
Or agile.
I thought you couldn't move.
Yeah.
Well, sure, there's that.
How do you,
other than the paralysis, I feel great.
How do you celebrate a birthday? What do you do?
Huge amounts of blow.
Really?
Oh,
I
wow.
I did a whole 8-ball myself.
Wow. How about that?
That's a hell of a
last
birthday.
Last night.
And, of course, you're still in the wheelchair. You're the famous scientist who wrote The Brief History of Time, and you got the super hot wife still, right?
Thanks for bringing up the fact that I'm still in the wheelchair.
Well, I just wanted people to
forgot.
I just wanted our listeners maybe who weren't familiar with the name Stephen Hawking to know who it is we were talking about.
Yes, I'm still paralyzed.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Paralyzed,
thanks
unfortunately.
So much.
You got the ALS,
happy,
right.
Happy effing birthday.
Well, sorry about that. So the great thing about your birthday, though, as I understand it, is you were celebrating with somebody else born January 8th. The great David Bowie was apparently with you last night.
Yes, Bowie and I were hanging out all night.
Now, we were making a joke about this yesterday because according to astrology, everybody born on the same day kind of has a lot in common. But
yes.
David Bowie and Stephen Hawking doesn't really sound like a twin, you know? It doesn't sound normal.
Well,
you guys sound the opposite of each other. Hello?
Dr. Hawking?
Well, we're not twins.
You're not twins. Okay. So you're saying you're not identical to David Bowie.
We have a lot in common.
All right. What is it that you have in common?
We hang all the time.
You do. You hang out.
We both have smoking hot wives.
Yes, that's
true. Right, that's true, yes.
And we both rock out with our...
Okay, can't say
okay,
that.
Okay, careful.
Can't say
careful.
That.
Careful.
Even in robot voice?
Nope.
Right. Even a robot voice. It's still a violation. So what did you guys do last night? What, besides the blow, what was going on at the party?
Bang. banged some hookers and laid down some mad beats.
Is that right?
Some fat tracks.
What do you mean laid down some mad beats?
Here in my recording studio where I drop all my joints.
I didn't know you had one.
You have a recording studio?
Oh, yes. I am planning on dropping a new CD this year.
I didn't know you've
Hawking
ever... Hawking sings the hits. Wow, I didn't...
And Bowie and I were working on a track.
Together?
Yes.
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 This is the worst sex tape I've ever heard.
You don't have a bit of it there, do you? You don't have a taste of it.
I think Bowie's mixing it now.
Oh, we would love to hear that.
We'd love to hear something.
Bowie, do you have that tape?
Yes, I do, Stephen. Hold on, I'll play it for them.
Oh, fantastic.
Here it is, the world premiere, David Bowie and Stephen Hawking.
Beautiful.
I wish you happy birthday. I wish you happy birthday.
I wish you happy birthday. I wish you happy birthday.
I wish you happy birthday.
I wish you happy birthday. I wish you happy birthday. I wish you happy birthday.
Wow.
I wish you happy birthday.
I got that part.
I wish you happy birthday.
I wish you happy birthday.
All right, is there any more lyrics?
Happy birthday.
Okay,
I wish you happy birthday.
Is there any other part?
I wish you happy birthday.
Okay, good.
I wish you happy birthday.
Come on, Steven.
All right.
I wish you happy birthday.
Okay.
Many, many more happy birthdays.
Not much of a song.
Hope you have a lot of birthday.
All right, listen.
I wish you happy birthday.
Happy birthday, right.
Got wow.
Well, you can't tell twins anything. You know how it is, Kevin. What am I... Good morning, Ralph Garman. Good
morning, Frank Harmon. You just can't say the name anymore. You hate me so much you can't even get the name out of your throat. It just sticks right there going, good morning.
It's not that
all.
It
comes out. Hate you. You know what you can't listen to if you don't win tickets?
No.
My screening of Cloverfield? You got to win tickets. That's the only way you can appreciate it.
I see. Okay.
You can't just hear it. Can't just tune in to the radio and hear it. No, it's more exclusive than that.
I got you.
I've been waiting for this movie for months. Cloverfield from J.J. Abrams. The latest and greatest modern monster movie. A monster destroys New York City. And I spent some time in New York City over the holidays, and it might not be a bad idea.
You think? Start again?
Some of those people just really cheesed me off, I got to tell you.
Really? A guy from Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. Not a lot of brotherly love between Philadelphia and New York.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Cloverfield, we're going to do an advanced K-Rock screening of the movie. You get to see it before anybody else does. Thursday, January the 17th at The Grove, one of my favorite places to see a movie. Because then afterwards you can walk around and watch the fountains. I love that.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Really?
The Grove is like a mini oasis away from the city. You wouldn't even know you're in the city when you're in The Grove. It's like being at Disneyland.
Right, but you get out of a movie and then you walk around
and
look
over,
at the
I light
water
the smoke
fountain?
And I just say, let's watch the dancing waters. And it's very soothing.
Why?
Yeah, true.
You don't get it, man.
I don't.
Anyway, here's a trivia question. I've got three pairs of tickets to give away right now if you know the answer. Cloverfield stars, amongst other young actors, Michael Stahl David. And Michael was the star, one of the stars, of one of my favorite TV series last year, but it was short-lived on NBC. Name the TV series that Michael Stahl David starred in. If you know the answer, be one of the first three correct callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. And we'll give you a pair of tickets to see the advanced screening of Cloverfield.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty awesome. Oh, this is the sweetest thing that ever could have happened. The Britney Spears family is speaking out against Dr. Phil.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Family representative Lou Taylor, she's a woman, told Meredith Vieira on the Today Show that Dr. Phil did approach the family with the idea of doing a show about Britney and an intervention show.
Right.
But they... completely nixed the idea. Said not interested.
So they're denying that they asked him to go.
Only to have Phil try to set up the show anyway. Then,
The spokesperson for the family says it was even inappropriate for Phil to bring up doing a show, and that the entire family thought it would be detrimental to Britney. What's more, she says that the family feels betrayed that Phil would issue any kind of statement after meeting Britney at the hospital, and that nobody had given him any authority to say anything about her or her stay in the hospital or her relationship with Dr. Phil or the family. It is a total smackdown, people.
They couldn't be more right with everything that they're saying.
Absolutely. And even
if Dr. Phil
effed up
really,
as her family is, I don't think they would go into this stuff.
If Dr. Phil really cared and really was trying to legitimately help Britney Spears, he would have called privately, and we never would have heard about it. And he would have said, I just want you to know if there's anything I can do privately, away from the cameras and the press, to help, I'll be happy to. But that's not what happened. That's not what Phil's about.
Even when they talked to him about it, he said, I've been working with this family for years. You just don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do now because you just said that you've been working them for years and you had to, like, pump yourself up about it. He's looking like a total scumbag in this whole situation. For the entire story, you can go to TMZ.com. They're breaking this story, and that's the place to go when you want to hear about this stuff.
Dr. Phil, how do you sleep at night?
Oh, you know, occasionally I might drink a little bit. Yeah. Well, actually, I drink with Xanax. Actually, I take 2 to 3 times what is prescribed for Xanax and pour alcohol on top of it.
All right.
And I've got 15 pill bottles with narcotics hidden under a shelf in a closet.
All right.
Yeah, sounds like good times at the Phil house.
That works for you.
Good times.
The eldest son of Victoria and David Beckham is already becoming a tech head at his young age. Apparently, the London Sun reports that his parents gave Brooklyn, that's his name,
Brooklyn,
an iPhone for Christmas.
He's how old, Ralph?
He's 8. They gave in. They said after they realized the little boy had his little heart set on the phone and he kept demanding it. And then Victoria said it would be good for him to be able to reach mommy and daddy whenever he wanted. He's 8!
Yeah, how much is he away from mommy?
He should be
and
able to reach you because he should be standing next to you. Yeah. When he's not in school, he should be right there in your home with you.
Yeah.
He's 8!
I do see that the cell phone companies are intentionally marketing to that age group now, and that's one of the fastest growing groups of people getting phones in this country is the 8 to 12 year olds.
No 8-year old needs a cell phone of any kind.
I agree, but they're selling them to them.
Not the iPhone, not the Fisher Price, my first cell, nothing. You don't need. Who are you talking to at 8? Elmo? You're not talking to anybody. Stop it. Let these kids, please, let them be kids for God's sakes.
What if they need phones, though, Ralph?
They don't.
What if they need to get a hold of their parents?
They don't need phones.
What if they're along the freeway by themselves and they're lonely and they don't know what to do?
There?
I don't know. I'm just saying, what if?
Kevin, are your kids asking for phones yet? They're about that age.
Yes. The answer is no.
And you say no, yeah, no
you
way.
You haven't given them phones?
No. God, no.
You haven't
but
caved
they have,
in. You haven't caved.
No, but they do have phones where you can, like, pay, I don't know, $5 or something, and you can call them, or I don't know. There's
kids
been some
don't need cell phones.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
But they have Linus with them anyway, and he's got a phone. You can always reach Linus.
Right. Yes. He's got a chip they put in the back of his head so they can track him at any time in case he knows where he is. Look, if your kids need to talk to their friends or something, let them do it out of the home so at least you can monitor their phone usage and who they're talking to and whatnot, you know?
Well, if they're in a bad neighborhood with some of their friends.
They shouldn't be there is my point.
All right.
Are we going to answer my trivia question?
We do. We have Seth in Lake Forest. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning.
Seth, what was the name of the team?
Let him ask the question again first.
What was the name of the TV series that Michael Stahl David starred in?
The Black Donnellys.
The Black Donnellys on NBC. Yeah. Did you guys watch that show? Did you watch it?
I don't think so, no.
It was real good. I liked it, but it didn't stick around very long. Congratulations. You're going to get tickets for an advanced screening of Cloverfield.
Thanks.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Steven in L.A. and Jacob in Pasadena are your other winners. Ralph will have more tickets for you next hour.
He's under joy.
He's unmoved.
George Clooney.
Wish he didn't have a phone. Wish that guy didn't have a phone.
George Clooney gave some public congratulations to his old buddy Nicole Kidman after he said he was thrilled to hear about the news of her pregnancy. When asked what kind of mother he thought that she would be, he said great and tall.
Great and tall.
Yeah. Because, you know, she's a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a point there.
It's a dumb answer for a dumb question.
No, it's
Lisa
funny.
Brought up an excellent point yesterday that Nicole Kidman famously adopted children with Tom Cruise, and the word at the time was that she couldn't get pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were led to believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, all of Tom's people were like, oh, he's fertile. It's not his. It's not because of him. Now, all of a sudden, new husband, she's pregnant, just like that.
You guys know Tom Suzala, right?
I'm just saying that's what happened.
Unlimited suing budgets.
Well, I'm
Nothing
just saying.
We've
she
said hasn't, yeah. isn't true.
Isn't true, right.
I'm just saying no one is more heterosexual than Tom.
Oh, I agree. Okay. And fertile, my God, he can get you pregnant just by looking at
it. There you go.
We're just pondering aloud. That's all. Speaking of Tom Cruise and his semen.
I'm sorry.
E! Online says that Katie Holmes is carrying yet another bun in her oven.
Oh, no.
They claim that Mrs. Cruise looked like she was sporting a rather larger than usual tummy while attending the Seattle Seahawks game recently. And word is there is a definite bump in her midsection.
Is this supposedly from the sack of Elrond as well?
I was going to say, maybe got the ice cube tray out again and made her another cocktail.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what the connection was, why Tom and Katie were at a Seahawks-Redskins game on Saturday.
Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins.
Yeah.
Good buddies with Tom. I don't know if he's Scientologist now, but they're tight.
Didn't know that.
Okay, there you go then.
So that's their connection. He was there as guest from the Snyders.
Maybe he shouldn't go next time and they'll win.
Maybe. Maybe he's like Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
He's the Jinx. They also said there was a legion of security and personnel surrounding Katie Holmes as if to protect her during her pregnancy. But I'm sure they have that kind of security regardless.
All the time.
Sure. By the way, say what you want about Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. Have you seen her recently?
She looks amazing.
Yeah, she's way hot.
She's gorgeous. Stunning. Yeah. I mean, she was always cute, but now she's just gone to another level of sort of sophistication and sexiness that is just nuts.
Yeah.
She's hanging out with Posh. I think it's rubbing off on her.
Maybe, but there's some sort of good thing going on there.
Yes, there is.
It's good.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. I got distracted because I'm looking here at my notes, and I realized that today's the anniversary of the date the first X-rated film was shown.
That's what you were distracted by?
Yes, 1951. Okay. I was stunned by the title. I was trying to find out what the title was of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out the first X-rated film ever shown was in London. It was a French film in 1951, and the title was Teenage Cheerleading Sexpots on Motorcycles at a Nudie Leather Beach Party. I was surprised that that would be the title of the film.
Seems a little long.
Yeah, in 1951. Seems like a little... Mike, if you're going to say something, just try to get to the microphone without a mouthful of whatever it is your mouth is full of. Because it sounded like... And no one knows
Clark
what that
was in the room.
How was I supposed to know? Kevin was going to say, seems a little long.
But if your mouth is full of whatever you're chewing...
Then don't say anything.
...cud, and you're in the back of the room, opt out. It's all right. You can miss one.
Sorry, dude.
You can what was that? Hey, Psycho Mike, you douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
I know.
You creep. Motherfucker.
Wow.
I hate your not up for it today, you asshole.
Usually she can handle you, but just not today. Today she's just had an asshole.
Today's the wrong day.
Tomorrow maybe you can go again.
Why?
Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy Page, legendary rock guitarist for the band Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
He is 64 years old today. Remember when Bean was very excited about Led Zeppelin?
Oh,
I
yeah?
asked if there's any Led Zeppelin fans out there.
Oh,
when
yeah.
that happened?
Do we I
have
do that remember
tape?
That.
We have a piece of tape of Bean reacting to... my news.
You're asking the guy that's chewing his cut over here to find something quickly?
Yes. Check under Lead or Bean or Zep.
Bean, you be starring.
What is going on with Mike?
I don't know. He has no.
No, we don't have.
Okay, never
mind. I hate Psycho Mike.
I know.
Hate.
Yeah.
Hate.
Get in line.
Hate.
All right.
Hate.
Wow. The ladies love Psycho Mike.
They do.
No kidding.
Dave Matthews, singer-songwriter, is 41 years old today, and A.J. McLean from the Backstreet Boys. McLean? Who cares? He's Backstreet Boys, 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Foo Fighters right there with The Pretender, and Monday morning at this time, we're going to kick off our breakfast with Foo Fighters here on the world-famous K-Rock. If you want tickets, we still have some more coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. If you don't get tickets, you can listen to it on Monday. And, of course, the reason that we wanted to have the band, besides being a great band, is they're very funny. Dave and the other guys, very funny. So it's going to be a good breakfast.
Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, J.J. Abrams will be joining us talking about the Cloverfield, although it's just going to be like talking to him about Lost. He's not going to be able to tell us anything, but we'll try to find out what we can tomorrow. Scott Baio on the show tomorrow.
Way to sell Dr. it. Way Drew. To sell the exciting interview, by the way.
Well, I'm saying we're going to try.
Anything. It's stupid. It's going to be dumb. I wouldn't even listen if I were you.
I love J.J.
Waste of time.
And I love talking to him. I'm just saying that he's pretty good at keeping a secret. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Friday on the show, by the way, Ed O'Brien from Radiohead. And we also have Lena Headey, who plays Sarah Connor on the new Terminator TV series. So we got a lot of good stuff still ahead here this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's wrong with you this week, Bean? Are you? Are you on drugs?
Do you have a stroke?
Are you
Dick
high?
Clark?
Are you drunk?
What's your problem?
What's happening with you?
I am on drugs, actually. It's funny that you should ask that. Yes. I'm on some
hardly
funky
an excuse, because there isn't one of us here
spasm.
Who isn't on doing some kind of drug or drinking or smoking something or whatever, and we all seem to show up and do our jobs.
There are 5,000 moments with me. 5,000. Never given Ralph the wrong name. Not one time.
It has not been a banner week for me. Here's, I will admit that.
Here's one of Beans. This happened a little bit before this week.
So keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Ralph here's Harmon. The thing. That was a pre-recorded one, too.
Yes.
That was when you guys were doing one of your 400 vacation weeks that you get a year.
Right.
And you were pre-recording your hilarious best ofs. And Bean said Ralph Harmon and just said, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back and do another take on that one. Just let that one slide because his name isn't important enough to get right.
Our standards are very low.
That's what he was thinking.
Very
Ralph,
low.
We never go back. I don't care how bad it is. You've heard the best of. We don't go back for anything.
Well, then screw you.
Okay, but this was yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was yesterday, and we were talking about Rachel Nichols.
I love Rachel Nichols.
Who played Rachel Gibson on Alias. She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph, what's your name?
Ralph? Frank?
Hit it, Steve.
What the hell?
You just called Ralph Frank.
You have a stroke? What happened there exactly? How do you call him Frank? I mean, I'm the kind of guy that if I'm looking at a magazine cover or something and I see a guy like that'll work into my conversation because I'm bad at it, but... Were you looking at a Frank? I mean, what?
Frank Murphy?
Were you emailing
your
friend
Frank? Franks and Beans?
I wasn't. I didn't have anything like that going on. I cannot explain it, but I'm telling you, there's not a person in this room or a person listening who hasn't accidentally called somebody by the wrong name at some point in their life.
That's correct.
It's bound to happen.
And yet, I've never even done that with Frank.
I love Rachel Nichols.
Who played Rachel Gibson on Alias. She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph?
But you may do it in life or someone you know. We've been doing a goddamn show together for 10 years, day in and day out.
Look,
sometimes I'll call you Bean or Kevin Bean. I mean, you two, I'll get you mixed up. If you had called me Mike or Lightning or Lisa or something,
maybe
I could have understood. Frank! Where the hell's Frank coming from?
No. Bean wants you to change your name. We need a Frank to do the
showbiz. Frank Harmon is what he wants my name
to be, apparently. That's correct.
I don't know why something like that happens. You know, the mind and the mouth, they both work in mysterious ways, and sometimes you can't easily explain what comes out of either one.
You don't have to tell me that, for God's sakes. I'm the guy that knows that better than anyone.
And that's why you should feel just shamed,
Bill.
Because Kevin rarely gets anything right, and yet has never called me by the wrong name. Or anyone else, to my knowledge.
I am retarded, and yet I know Ralph.
Looks at me and says, there's the name right there. Bum.
It happens to lots of people. Why isn't this one of those things where you go, well, that was funny. He accidentally called you the wrong name, and then it goes away. Why am I worthy of scorn because of an honest mistake?
Partly because it's Frank. I think
that's part of the problem.
It's the name that you chose, not just the
wrong
name.
It wasn't like a macho name. It was Frank. Frank's kind of a nerd name.
And you're building up a head of steam with this. It's a trend. First it was the Harmon, now the Frank. For some reason, you're having a hard time wrapping your head around the fact that I've been here for a while. Maybe you should learn my name. That's what I think we're getting at.
So you think there's a subliminal message that's
Absolutely.
Creeping through here, which is, got to get rid of this guy, whatever his name is.
Right.
He's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank.
Right. And
hey, at least I got Charlie Wilson's name right.
Yeah,
yes,
Charlie
you did.
Wilson, he got right.
Got that right.
Hey, I bet he knows the guy who was the best boy on Charlie Wilson's War. I bet he's got the entire cast and crew memorized.
That's the thing about Bean is he has an amazing memory.
If my name was in an obituary, he would remember it perfectly.
Oh, but that would make him happy.
But interacting in a human way, live, no. There's no attention to detail there at
and
all.
Bean,
How
if we didn't,
dare you, Frank.
If we didn't play back embarrassing moments, this show wouldn't have anything to talk about, for God's sakes.
Well, that is
That's
true.
Why we're highlighting.
He's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank.
Well, you maybe should start shopping around for Frank Harmon to do.
Got an update on fat people for me?
Yes. Two people in Louisiana, two men, a 265-pound man and his friend, say a restaurant overcharged them for their trip to the buffet and then banned them because they're too fat and they eat too much.
Oh, no.
Is this a you pay one price, eat all you can, and they were kind of overdoing it?
All you can eat buffet. So basically that means take whatever you want.
Right.
Eat it. We're fine with it. Just pay us one time.
Yeah.
Apparently these guys were eating too much, so they've been banned from the restaurant. Y'all fat, y'all eat too much, is what the guy said that the waitress told him.
Now, have you seen pictures of these guys?
Yes.
Because there are guys who are 265 pounds that are not fat.
These guys are, well, one of them is strange looking. Like one of them, the quiet guy in the next interview that you'll hear, is he's kind of he's not thin, but his stomach is way out too far. It doesn't even make sense. It looks odd.
It's like the only place he gains weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the other guy is not fat, but big. He's a big guy, you know, and you can see these guys eating a lot.
Yeah.
Healthy appetite.
Fat
right.
guy doesn't say much. Big guy is the guy who does all the talking, and they were both on Jimmy Kimmel last night, standing right. in front of the restaurant that banned them.
Oh, okay.
And they are just two good old boys that just, they used to go to this restaurant all the time, and now they've been banned. Here's the interview. Why is that not working? Oh, put it, there you go. Excellent. Thank you, Mike. No, that's good. It's a good start. We'll edit that out.
The Friday night before Christmas, we decide to come out here and eat. We've been eating here for about the last 8 months, maybe once, twice a week.
Now, this guy is guy who gives too much information guy.
Okay.
So he has got to explain in detail how this happened.
Well, the night we walk in there, we was greeted very friendly. We sat down at the table. They already knew what we wanted to drink, iced tea. So me and Mike proceed to the bar to fix our plate.
Right.
So I walk to the bar. I pick up three, maybe four ball shrimp, put in my plate because the pan was empty at this time.
Uh-huh.
I then go to the frog legs. I pick up four frog legs because there's two frog legs to every frog unless they're crippled.
Right. Two frog legs to every frog unless they're crippled, he said.
By the way, only in Louisiana would they offer frog legs at a buffet. How about that?
Yeah, and what's bald shrimp? I don't even know what that is.
I think it's ball shrimp, isn't it?
I thought it was saying boiled.
Oh, boiled shrimp.
Oh, maybe it was boiled shrimp.
Oh,
that would
be.
Make sense. I learned that from Forrest Gump. Yeah, that's true. That's
shrimp balls. I don't know, but this guy, and so he goes on.
So I go and I get me 2 to 3 shrimp balls. I'll get me some Chinese rice.
He's saying shrimp ball.
He is.
They make balls out of shrimp someplace.
Yep.
Or maybe there's actually balls.
I go back to the table. I'm undoing my napkin to get my fork.
Yeah.
Cut my first shrimp ball in half. Put it in my mouth. Start chewing.
Slow down. I want to get every detail.
Okay, this guy may not be used to the fast pace of television interviews. Yeah, I think maybe too much detail in this story.
So I sat down, cut my shrimp ball in half. Maybe it was thirds.
In my mouth, started chewing it. All of a sudden, the waitress slaps a ticket on the table with two fortune cookies.
Right.
At this moment, I'm trying to chew my shrimp ball and swallow it. She makes the comment.
Okay, now this is the strangest comment I've ever heard. She tells the guy, she tells his friend, the guy who doesn't talk, with the giant, weird-looking belly.
Okay.
If you guys serve yourself again, you will be charged $20 per person because Wendy said y'all are fat, overweight, and eat too much.
No.
All right, so they're going to be charged double because they eat too much because they're fat.
And overweight.
And overweight.
Look, I don't know very much about this story. I did not see this interview last night, but I don't think the restaurant has a leg to stand on in this. If they're advertising all you can eat for a person to come in, that's the rule, right? That's the contract you're making with the customer.
That's what you would think, but not in this case.
I swallowed my shrimp ball by the hardest.
Right.
I done returned to talk to her again. She makes the statement. Mike Borelli here looks like he has baby in stomach.
No. Mike Borelli here has baby in stomach. That's the guy with the weird, he looks pregnant. That guy's interpretation is baby in stomach.
I can now see why Carl Malone sounds the way he does, because I think he comes from the same part of Louisiana.
At this point,
and Mike, you are not, you are, you do not have a baby in your stomach right now.
No, I don't think.
You got a full-grown adult in there.
Yeah.
This is an all-you-can-eat buffet, right?
Yes, sir. All-you-can-eat buffet.
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 Sure. They call it Louisiana, a buffet.
Right. And so the idea is, as it's almost like a challenge, as much as you can possibly eat. Were you eating too much of one specific thing?
No, sir. I tried everything.
You tried everything.
Not everything on the bar, but, you know, shrimp, ball shrimp.
Yeah, you did mention the ball shrimp. Now, were there any signs restricting what you could eat? Were they say, like, you can only eat 3 plates of food or anything like that?
No, sir, there was not. They did have a sign posted stating you will be charged 20% extra if you allow your children to waste food.
Uh-huh. And the baby in Michael's stomach did not waste any food. I would like to represent you in this case. I don't know if you have an attorney, but I think I'm cut out for this particular line of work.
Well, I'm game for it because I need all the help I can because I felt like we was discriminated against. It was unreal.
And now, is there a Sizzler or anything in the neighborhood that you can go to? Or, I mean, what are you going to do?
Sir, what we did... This past Friday night, Mike asked me to go out and eat again. We wound up going back to the place we used to go to, which is Dragon Gardens. When Mike paid the bill that night, because we take turns paying the bill,
okay. Yeah.
The owner of the restaurant came up to me and shook my hand, and that was it.
When you guys...
Some story.
When you guys have dinner together, does Mike say anything?
No, Mike don't say too much.
Mike don't say too much.
No, I got my mouth full.
Maybe he's concentrating on baby and stomach. Yeah.
That guy went to the Psycho Mike School of Storytelling, didn't he?
Oh, don't you God. Want to live with those people?
Yes, I do.
Come
and I
on.
Hope Jimmy does represent him in court. And I hope Court TV airs every second of that trial. That's fantastic.
Because those guys should be able to eat all they want at the buffet.
You go ahead with whatever you're doing. I'm still studying the Adriana Lima sex tape to determine whether it's her or not. So I'm going to be very, very busy for the next couple of minutes.
I am going to just say I want to believe it's true. So
I
therefore it is.
All right,
but
enjoy
I picture her face on everybody anyway, so it's really not that much different for this today. And I want to thank the K-Rock listener who wrote in who actually used to live in Louisiana and will confirm for us that it is called boiled shrimp, and that is apparently a very common item to eat down
there. That's what
that guy was saying? Boiled shrimp, yeah. Sound like bald.
It is.
Because he would say shrimp ball.
He said shrimp ball.
I know.
Shrimp boil.
Shrimp boil. Yeah.
That's weird. We have a segment on the website, Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. And this is where we post the link to some of our favorite internet sites, including the hand farter. Remember that guy?
He's awesome.
He's your personal hero, yeah.
Does the hand farter to Queen songs. Unbelievable, this guy. You have to see it to believe it. Kelly Pickler, remember when she was asking if Europe was a country? Or
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Or Italy was a city. I can't remember what she was saying, but she was all confused about that. Kirk Cameron, Atheist Nightmare is up there. They proved that there's a God with a banana.
The banana proof, yes.
Look at this banana. The Philly TV host is up there that said something about her muff, and she had no idea what she was talking about, and the news anchor almost choked. He could not believe that she said that. Baby Got Book is up there. This is this is the rap to Baby Got Back about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
She got
it's kind of a clearinghouse of those funny things that you come across that you kind of want all in one place so you can share them with your friends. That's what the Internet Roundup's all about.
You're not going to be happy when you watch New Wheels on the Block either because you will laugh and you will feel bad about it. So
that is true.
You have to go there. We have two new things up in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Okay. In Cincinnati, there is a newscaster. And if you guys, if somebody from the audience sent this to us, we apologize for not knowing who it was. But we get a lot of stuff. But this one is a Cincinnati newscast. And apparently every Friday, if they don't have traffic, and by the way, Cincinnati's a pretty big city.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
If they don't have traffic, here's what they do.
Just so you know, it is Dance Party Friday, and when no major accidents are going on, no major slowdowns, we have nothing, as you can see on the board, to report. So therefore...
Now, this is a woman who's doing the traffic, of course.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, even in L.A., Friday mornings can be really quiet. So you can imagine in Cincinnati.
Okay. Well, this is what we have to start doing then. If there's no traffic, then I'm not kidding you. They have Dance Party Friday. And she starts dancing. And the news anchor gets up and walks over and starts rapping in front of the camera.
Wow.
This is unbelievable.
We shall dance. Oh, yeah. I like this one. They told me to do the Roger Rabbit.
Now she starts doing moves, dance moves.
Pull out a little sprinkler.
In the sprinkler. Nice.
I like what you're doing there, Jen. Oh, that's good work.
It's a TV.
I like it.
Bob, I think you should join me.
back with the bass. The jam is live and affecting, I don't waste time. On the mic with the dope rhyme. Jump through the rhythm, jump through the rhythm, jump.
Come on, she's dancing and he's in front of the camera like throwing gang signs and rapping.
That's him singing too, by the way.
I know.
That's insane.
That's awesome.
Great.
It would be like Paul Moyer getting up and shaking that ass on the 11 o'clock news, right?
Paul Moyer, what are you doing? Just reading news? What good is that to us? This guy's rapping. Oh, I got to see Channel 4 do that. Who should do that more than Channel 4? Oh.
That's awesome.
Dance Party Fridays. Now, that's one of the links that we put up there. The other link that we're putting up, we have been looking forward to for a long time, because our man Omar did a movie in college. College, right?
Junior college, yeah.
Junior college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Cucamonga Heat.
Yeah, it is.
And he's been telling us about it for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And we keep begging him to bring it in. Well, it's up on YouTube now.
Finally figured out how to do that, yeah.
And it might be the worst movie you've ever seen.
Give me some background, though. Was this a film production class or something?
It was some sort of broadcasting class. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was shot in like 2 days. And like we had like, you know, 3 weeks to do it. But, you know, we waited to the last minute, and we did everything in one take. It was it was shot in like 3 hours and edited in two, and then I threw in all the sound effects in about an hour. So,
and it was the mission was to write and film an original movie. Is that what you were asked to do?
Yeah. But there was no writing involved.
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
On my part, right?
Well, Omar is not the world's best ad libber, and I'm speaking as a guy who can't do it either. I'm not trying to put myself above him, but wow.
What's the plot of the movie, Cucamonga Heat?
The plot of the movie is there's this guy, Mr. Khan.
Mr. Khan!
That's who I play.
That's sure. A stretch.
You know, oddly enough.
That's his name, by the way, people.
And, you know, I sent out this guy to go fool these guys who are going to buy drugs, give them fake drugs, and then the drug buyers go and kill him. And then
hey, they say write
Khan.
What you know, so right. I guess that's what you knew, right?
Exactly.
So this scene, Omar is sitting in a chair with his back to the camera, pretty much.
Right.
And it's hard to believe that you ad-libbed this. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, wait, no, it isn't at all. This is like one of those one-sided phone conversations where you can't hear the guy on the other end of the phone, but you know for a fact that Omar didn't leave him any time to talk. So there cannot be anyone on the other side of the phone. There's no possible way. And this is Omar on the phone.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go out smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man.
God, that
I
was
gotta
the
go,
greatest
man.
Thing I've ever heard.
Now, you played that back and said, yes. I nailed that.
No, I said no, but we only had one take, so I had to throw it in.
Wow.
Nice no. music, by the way.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
So then, and I don't have a clip of this, unfortunately. I'm very upset to not have a clip of this, but when you shot the guy in the head,
yeah,
it might be the funniest thing you've ever seen because he puts a pistol to a guy's head. And then the sound effects are like a machine gun for, I don't know, there's probably 10 shots.
It's like a shootout. Yeah.
But the weapon is touching the guy's head. He doesn't move until the end of the 10 shots.
It's the only sound effect I had.
From a half an inch away, this guy. And he's just taking him in the head until he's finally over.
Yeah, 10 seconds later, he falls over.
What kind of grade did you get on this film project, if you recall, Omar?
Believe it or not, we were the best film in the class.
No!
Oh,
wow.
We were by far the best
now,
film.
Is that your opinion?
No. By far, we actually got a standing O.
No, you did not.
I swear.
Because it was over?
No. I kid you not. The other projects were dull and boring. Ours were it actually came off funny.
Yeah, but not intentionally.
Not intentionally, but it was but it was still entertaining. And the car chase scene was badass.
Yeah, if you take the car scene out of it, by the way, it's about 8 seconds long.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It has 40 seconds at the beginning and 20 seconds at the end, and 9 minutes in the middle is just car chase.
Dude, the car chase scene was awesome.
Well, awesome from the standpoint of not very good.
Dude,
yeah,
it's awesome.
He's shooting like out the back of one car and out the front of another, and there's just turn and then another turn. They're not going very fast either, just kind of a little bit of a turn, and then another turn, and then there's four other turns, and then there's another turn.
Well, you're wasting your time in radio, dude. You should have stuck with film. Yeah. You are a natural.
Miniature Steven Spielberg here.
Thanks.
Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude.
Smooth.
Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Why would I say thanks? Say hi to the family. Why would I say that?
We know.
I don't know. I must have been high.
That is how you sound when you're drunk, by the
way.
Yeah. Drunk Omar does not give you 1 second to speak. He just repeats himself and stutters a lot, and that's pretty much when you're... So you must have been drunk.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good job.
You can go to YouTube and search Cucamonga Heat, or you can go to krock.com, the internet.
Yeah, leave your comments.
You're up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Nine Inch Nails, also The Killers, and Foo Fighters coming up, and more chances for you to get your way into our Breakfast with Foo Fighters for Monday morning at the Troubadour, all on the way from the world-famous K-Rock.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Did you see the freaking People's Choice Awards last night?
No.
Did you catch any of it?
No.
No.
Wow.
It's a horrible show every year, and this year I just assumed with the strike and all, there wouldn't even be any stars there.
It is by far the most pointless of all the award shows. I've always said this because most people are idiots.
Right.
So I really don't want to know what their choice is because they're dumb.
But isn't that true of presidential elections, too? When you let the people vote, you get the choice that the people want.
That's true. That's hard to argue.
Yeah, but most people who are going to the polls to vote for a president are motivated by some sort of vested interest. So the people who turn out to vote for president tend to be a little bit more on the ball because they have already an interest in who's going to be the president.
But it's
majority of people who don't care or are too stupid to care about who runs our country stay home and they don't vote. However, the people who fill in the back of the TV guide ballot for the People's Choice Awards, we're not lucky enough to have them just mind their own beeswax. No, they go out of their way to get online and vote for the People's Choice Awards.
That is odd. I've never...
In mass.
Never thought of voting for something like that.
So imagine the people who do say, oh, I have to get my vote in for the People's Choice Awards and go out of their way to vote. These are the people who are making the choice for the people.
And it was on TV?
Yes.
All right.
And no one would show up because there's a writer's strike.
Oh, good.
So there was no one would cross the picket line. So they did have some people accept via taped acceptances.
Oh, good.
But the vast majority of it was Queen Latifah standing in front of a plasma screen telling you who won.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
And then, to Phil, they would go back and show you a montage of old acceptance speeches of other people in the same categories.
Oh,
so when they were doing Leading Lady, they would show you Sally Field from 1982 talking about...
Like
Norma Jean or something.
Like a great moment in history or something?
It was horrible.
Why didn't they cancel this show as they're doing with the Golden Globes?
Yes. Yes.
That's the point. That's your point.
And I hope they paid Queen Latifah $1 billion.
Was she worth
it? Because she embarrassed herself horribly.
Oh.
Because what she was doing. She was like, okay, it's time for the people's choice.
Oh, no.
She was like, just... Yeah, and like dancing and just, and there's no audience or anything. She's just sort of hanging out there, her ass.
She knew it was horrible and she was trying to tap dance her way out of
it. Yeah, it was really just a train wreck.
I would have known that was on. I would have watched
train
that.
Train wreck. I watched for about 20 minutes and then had to go vomit.
Did unfortunately, Tim Allen win Best TV Star again?
I did miss some of the bigger categories. Favorite threequel?
Favorite threequel?
Yeah, favorite third installment in a movie trilogy.
Die Hard.
No, we went to Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. These are the type of categories you get in the People's Choice, by the way. Favorite funny female star?
Who was that?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Favorite rock song? Now I said, okay, finally, I did catch this. It's rock song. Finally, something we can appreciate.
Favorite rock
song. You know? Daughtry's Home.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he rocks.
Wow.
Favorite group? Rascal Flatts. See, these are the people that are voting. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
These are people eating their shrimp balls with baby in stomach and then filling out the form.
That's them.
For the People's Choice Awards. So anyway, it was...
So stop it is the message, I think.
Stop it. Yes.
And this is the last thing that was heard on the show.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
Yeah. Favorite new TV drama? Moonlight.
What's Moonlight?
What's that?
Moonlight.
The vampire detective show.
Lisa must watch that.
I never saw that.
You must have, Lisa.
Here's the thing about that show.
You're the only one who watches horrible television.
I watch that show because I love vampires. Anything about vampires, I'm in. Half an episode, I'm out.
How many times was it on?
It's still on, I think.
It is?
It's horrible.
It's the favorite new TV drama. Of all the new dramas.
How'd they miss that?
That's the favorite. That happens to be on CBS.
So bad.
That CBS aired the People's Choice Awards.
She's like a TV reporter and he's a vampire.
I am not suggesting collusion, but I'm just saying.
Wow.
Jessica Alba, I love her more than ever.
Yes.
In a recent interview, she slammed Zac Efron.
Excellent.
What?
Yep.
What?
Jessica appeared on stage with Efron at last year's Teen Choice Awards, which don't get me started, another award ceremony you can pass over. But she said, I could not help but think as I was looking at him, my God, he looks like a child with a lot of makeup on.
So true.
Yeah. He said, he looks like a small little boy and he wears a ton of makeup.
Why?
What?
And Bean likes him.
Well, you know, he's got to wear the makeup because his boyfriend likes him that way. But
Come on. He's very pretty. I will grant you that.
That's because he wears all the makeup.
That's because he looks like a child with makeup.
I think he has naturally lush eyelashes, to tell you the truth.
I need that, too.
Oh, my God.
I need that for the website.
Yeah. And he's so muscular.
And what? I didn't hear that part.
He's muscular. And he has silky smooth skin.
Silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
That's right.
How do we know? Under that foundation, he might be all pockmarked. We don't know. He might trowel it on him.
And that hair, you just want to stroke it. The hair.
Why?
I was in the room minutes ago watching the Amy Fisher sex tape. Someone sent it
to
me. Yeah.
She looks pretty good.
Does she?
Yeah.
I don't have much interest in that.
Her partner is 11D.
Oh, no.
Ooh, really?
So if you go in for the older guy, younger girl combo with her calling him daddy a lot.
Oh, no.
That's the video for you.
I'm out.
Lisa. And it's in the news because Mary Jo Buttafuoco was asked what she thought about Amy Fisher's foray into the world of porn, and she's not pleased. She believes it is a situation where an attempted assassin is cashing in off of trying to commit murder.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
And that is what she's known for.
So. I think it would upset you to see this woman be famous for shooting you in the face.
Sure, if that's all she
did. And benefit from that.
And still carry on the fame of that act and parlay it into some sort of financial gain. I can see where
she went
might
to prison, though, for a while, right?
She did.
Yeah. Okay.
And she got a bunch of plastic surgery. She looks pretty good. But, here's the thing about celebrity porn. Its only value is if their curiosity factor is there for, oh, my God, that's a big celebrity. What are they like when they're in bed?
Right.
Who cares what Amy Fisher's like in bed?
Because you don't know anything about her anyway, except for she shot a woman in the head.
Right. It's not all that scintillating. And, by the way, she's not very good. So.
Really?
No real reason to watch.
How about the 11D guy? Is he good?
Oh, yeah. He rocks.
Is he lay pipe?
Next month, the Joey Buttafuoco videos. That's what you want to get a hold of.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Let's have a special K-Rock screening for that. What do you
let's
say?
Not.
Let's all get together and rent out a movie and just watch Joey just go at it.
You there.
Break her off.
No.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Speaking of sex and violence in films,
all right.
Interesting study was released this week that's saying that violent movies actually helps reduce crime. Now, here's the reason. May not be what you think. When Hollywood opens up a new violent movie, all the really violent people go to see the movie, and it takes them off the streets unless violent crimes are committed on the streets.
During those weekends, hour and a half?
The weekends that a big violent movie opens up, violent crime drops because all the people with violent tendencies who love those kind of movies go to the theaters to watch them.
But don't they walk out of the theater being all amped up? That's some people's theory, that then they'll go out and commit violence because of the adrenaline flow from the film.
Excellent point, Bean.
I wanted to shoot somebody after I watched Cucamonga Heat. I know
I know I did. I want to get on the phone and say, it's all going to be okay, all right? Interesting emphasis on the different words there in Omar's performance.
He's good.
It's going to be okay, all right? the other part of the study is that, unfortunately, they have done a study that shows in brain scans of people who watch violent films that the parts of your brain that prevents you from acting on bad thoughts gets chemically suppressed when you take in those visual images.
That's interesting.
Shaky as hell.
Interesting.
Why is it shaky?
I don't know.
That brain scanning stuff is really fascinating, what they're learning with that.
Because scientific studies can't be trusted, Kevin?
Yes.
Because you dismiss them
outright? I discount your very valid point.
Oh, I see. Yeah. They did brain scans of people and noticed that those parts of the brain were suppressed during the viewing of ultraviolet films.
That's interesting.
So I'm thinking if you have a proclivity towards violence already, if that part of your brain is already perhaps suppressed, right, this just adds to it and could make you more violent. But if you're an average person, I'm assuming it doesn't have nearly as much an effect.
It's interesting because people who are in prison oftentimes for violent crimes are never allowed to watch any kind of violent movies. They always restrict those. They only let them watch the, you know, the G and the PG rated movies. It sounds like they may be making a mistake in that case.
But don't let them watch Next Sunday, because that makes me violent, just the trailer for that.
What's Next Sunday?
Or This Sunday, or Coming This Sunday, or whatever the whole thing. The new Ice Cube movie? That makes me violent when I watch it. I want to pick up a baseball bat and hit Tracy Morgan right in the back of the head.
That's different. That's a different kind of violence.
Oh, why do I feel so violent then when I'm watching it?
I don't think it looks very good.
I'm furious. Jamie Lynn Spears is pregnant and could not be a bigger star.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon was concerned that the soon-to-be unwed mother might have a detrimental effect on their network by starring in their Teeny Bopper TV show. However, America came through once again. Turns out, record ratings for the latest showing of Zoe 101.
Yay!
7.2 million viewers tuned in to watch Jamie Lynn Spears now that they know she's 16 and knocked up.
She's a whore, okay?
Take controversy sells. Now they're going to make Drake and Josh get married. You watch.
Yeah. They can get all naked. Zac Efron putting on makeup.
Stop.
Good times. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist for Led Zeppelin, is 64 years old today. J.K. Simmons, who has had just an amazing career, one of the best actors working today. He played J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies. He was on Oz. He was on Law & Order. You can see him in Juno right now playing Juno's dad. He's always funny when he needs to be, and can be really sort of intimidating when he needs to be, too. He's got a lot of range. 53 years old today. Dave Matthews, who is 41 years old today. And Buster Poindexter, David Johansen, from the New York Dolls, of course, and then by his own rocketing solo career as Buster Poindexter. Remember all his hit?
So we got
all of this one?
Yeah. Make you want to have a martini and put on a tux.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
That's right.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Oh, remember the girls in that video?
No.
Oh.
I think I ever saw that video.
Really?
I don't think so.
Bill Murray making martinis in the shaker?
Oh. What you're talking about?
My favorites. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ. And we are having breakfast.
Optimus Prime.
I'm sorry, what?
You are listening to Optimus Prime.
Ralph, we can still hear your voice.
It doesn't sound anything like the guy in the Transformers.
Ralph has a blue helmet on right now. We are going to do the Wheel of Celebrities, people. And what they're going to do is read the lyrics to Foo Fighters songs, and you have to tell us the song title. If you can do that, you will win tickets to be at our breakfast on Monday morning.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Let me tell you what's awesome about this prize. Not only do you get to join us Monday at the Troubadour for the Foo Fighters breakfast, you get a chance to hear the band performing live and ask all the questions you've always wanted to ask of the band, and celebrate Dave Grohl's birthday with him too, by the way. But we're also going to throw in tickets to see them March 6th at the Forum. Those tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. That happens Saturday at 10, and you'll also win those. So really two Foo Fighters events is what you're winning if you are able to crack the Wheel of Celebrity Voices.
All right, here are the celebrities on the wheel. We got Optimus Prime, as you just heard.
Oh, dear God, no.
We have the Queen of England.
Oh, good.
We have Tom DeLonge.
From Angels and Airwaves, right?
We have the Hulkster.
Uh-huh.
Hulk Hogan from American Gladiator.
William Shatner.
Okay.
All right.
Tom Cruise. Mayor Villaraigosa. Homer Simpson. Wow. Chris Angel. Governor Schwarzenegger. And Kim Jong-il.
And Optimus Prime.
I said that first. Optimus Prime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't you had the helmet on. You couldn't hear.
Don't let him left out.
He would feel bad if we left him out.
He's in the room, and he's huge.
All right. Let's begin with Lillian.
Yes?
Yeah, from Long Beach. Hi. Sorry, I didn't.
Hi.
Wasn't sure I was saying it right. Okay.
Now, Lillian, here's the way the game is played in case you've never heard it before. Kevin is going to spin the wheel. Whatever celebrity it lands on, that celebrity comes in and reads lyrics from a popular Foo Fighters song. All you have to do is tell us what the title is of that song, and you win to join us Monday morning. You all set?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I hope you bring that high-energy personality to the breakfast with us. That's all I'm saying. Chris Angel is who's going to be reading the lyrics. Chris?
Don't be a sucker.
Give us some lyrics to a Foo Fighters song, please.
It's real. The pain you feel, the life, the love you die to heal, the hope that starts, the broken heart, your trust you must confess.
Okay. You and Lillian, by the way, sound like you're made for each other. Lillian, what song is he doing there?
Best of You.
How about
yes!
that?
Yes!
Well done.
Wow.
I would have bet a year's salary against Lillian with that. I got to be completely honest with you.
Don't be a sucker.
Thank you, my dear. We'll see you on Monday. Hold on. We'll give you the details. Thank you, Chris Angel, for stopping by. Let's meet our next contestant. This is going to be Missy down in Fontucky. Hey, Miss.
Oops, sorry.
Missy, hi.
Why are you spinning it now?
I just spinned it before, so it landed on something, so we could hurry up, and then I forgot to go to the phone
call. Oh, I see.
Missy, hi.
Hi.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, landed on the Hulkster. What a surprise.
Woo!
Hulk Hogan,
are you kidding me?
The one voice done by Bean Baxter.
Come on in, Hulk.
Hey, Missy, how you doing, brother? Listen up. Here's your lyrics. You make me dizzy, running circles in my head, brother. One of these days, I'll chase you down. Well, look, who's going crazy now? We're face to face, my friend. Better get out. Better get out, brother.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yes.
Hulk. All right, Missy.
Song there, Missy.
Oh, wow.
Foo Fighter song?
Is there any chance he might be able to repeat?
Nope.
Shut not up. Even a little
Shut
bit,
up.
No. Nope. Nobody asked the Hulk to do anything twice.
Got to give us a song title, please.
Monkey Wrench.
No, I'm sorry. That was...
You make me dizzy, running circles in my head.
That was Breakout. Sorry, thank you.
Breakout, you whore.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
Easy,
wow.
Hulkster. Hold
easy.
On.
What the hell?
Marsala is in Pico Rivera on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Good morning, Marsala.
Good morning.
Listen up. Kevin has spun the wheel. Let's see what celebrity it landed on.
It landed on Tom DeLonge from Angels and Airwaves.
Good morning.
How about that?
Looking for a sign of life. Looking for something to help me burn out bright. I'm looking for a complication. Looking because I'm tired of trying.
What song is that?
Oh, my God. I know this.
Yes, you do.
Oh, good. Then share it with us.
You so know this.
I'm going to die if I don't get this.
You know this so well.
Oh.
You're going to die.
I'm going to die.
Give us a song title.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Give us a song title.
Song title, please.
You can't win if you don't at least guess.
Song
okay,
title.
Okay. Best of Me. I don't know.
That was Learn to Fly. Learn to Fly. Learn to Fly. Yep, that was.
Thank you, Tom. Say hi to the Angels and the Fairies or wherever you're going next.
I will.
All right, let's go to Vincent in Orange. Good morning, Vincent.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You ready for the Wheel of Celebrities?
I hope so.
We have Homer Simpson, ladies and gentlemen. Homer Simpson now, reading lyrics to the Fighters.
Awesome.
Hi, Homer.
Too alarming now to talk about. Take your pictures down and shake it out. Truth or consequences, say it aloud. Use that evidence, race it around.
Well done, homie. Well done. What do you think there, Vincent?
My hero.
Yes!
Nicely done. Nicely done. All right, you got Beautiful. Tickets for the breakfast and Woo-hoo! For the forum.
Thanks.
Hold on. All right, overwhelmed. Let's go to Burton and Downey. Good morning, Burton.
Good morning.
You ready for the wheel?
Yeah, thanks for making me laugh. I'm all nervous.
Oh, you're all nervous?
Hey, Burton. How have you been doing on the phone as you've been listening in while you were waiting for us to come to you? Have you done pretty well?
So far, 2 out of 4, so 50-50.
It's not bad.
Okay. All right, let's see what happens.
Oh, what are the? It landed on the Hulkster.
Oh, boy.
It did not land on the Hulkster again.
It landed on the Hulkster.
What am I supposed to do?
All right.
Play it where it lays. Here's the Hulkster reading some lyrics from the Foo Fighters.
Hey, brothers, it's me, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, we know. We just said it was you. Just read.
If everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could be this good again, the only thing I'll ever ask of you, you've got to promise not to stop when I say when, brother.
All right. Tell us the name of that song.
I hope I'm right, but is it Everlong?
It is Everlong! Nicely done. You got the tickets.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you on Monday.
All right, we got one more pair. Please don't make it be Optimus Prime. Please make it be the Queen of England. Please be the Queen of England.
Oh, the Hulkster again.
What
the
chance?
Not the Hulkster. How can you do that?
That's unbelievable.
That's where the wheel lands.
What are you
going to
do? Play.
Those are the rules. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's regulated by the state of California. It's the Hulkster now.
It is unbelievable. Why don't we talk to our contestant, Matt in West Hollywood first. Hey, Matt.
What's up, guys?
Dude, what are the chances that it would land on the Hulkster 3 times in one game?
I'm pumped.
All right, here you go.
All this time to make amends, brother. What do you do when all your enemies are friends? Now and then I'll try to bend. Under pressure, wind up snapping in the end, brother.
That's Monkey Wrench.
It is Monkey Wrench.
And it's my favorite song by the Foo Fighters.
No kidding.
Well, we have to pick it. Good job, Hulkster.
Thank you, brother.
Good job, Hulkster, and good job, everybody. Thank you for playing the game, and we have more tickets tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean.
I don't think it made big news yesterday, but I did notice that New Jersey issued a statement of interest. They have followed Alabama, Maryland, North Carolina, and Virginia, and are the latest state to issue a formal apology for slavery, which they abolished, by the way, in 1846.
So yesterday they voted on this and came up with a formal apology?
Yes, they certainly did. They have now expressed profound regret for the state's role in the practice of slavery.
Doesn't it seem like this would have been done, you know, right after?
No,
yes,
no.
It
these kinds of apologies never happen right after. When did we apologize for interning the Japanese?
About 2 years ago.
Yeah. When everybody who was involved is dead, then we go, yeah,
okay.
We're really sorry about what those people did.
Now that they're gone, we're sorry.
Yeah.
And this has been a real trend in the last few years. I mean, you remember all the controversy just last year about wanting, you know, Turkey to apologize for their massacre,
yes.
Right? And everybody would say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you have to do that. Oh, you shouldn't do that. And everybody just gets worked up. And you're right, Lisa. It's never the people who are directly involved. It's usually the people who are descendants of those people who want to get it done. And we're not skilled enough to handle a conversation like this. But we do have a guy that we go to who is an expert on delicate matters of race like this. And he is our friend Bruce Endicott from the organization known as Coffee, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. Tell us again what Coffee is, please, sir.
Coffee is the Caucasian organization for friendship enveloping everyone.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
We believe if you take the delicious, cold, frosty, creamy goodness of white milk and add the bitter, acrid black coffee, mix them together, you get a delicious, creamy, hot beverage to start off your day.
Why does the black part have to be bitter?
Because that's what coffee is.
All right.
I didn't make coffee.
All right.
Okay.
I'm
so,
God.
Right. We understand. So help us understand what happened in the state of New Jersey. I hope you heard the story while you were on hold about them issuing an apology for slavery.
I knew about the story. I didn't hear about it from you guys. We were very active in this movement, and we think it's an excellent idea on behalf of New Jersey.
Oh, so you were involved. Okay, good.
To apologize to our African-American brothers for slavery. We think it's an excellent idea, and we hope other states will follow suit.
But how does that help a black man or woman alive today who has never known anyone in slavery and it doesn't really affect their lives today? I mean, what's the significance of these remarks from New Jersey to them?
Just a nice thing to do. Hey, black guy, I'm sorry about the whole slavery thing. We cool?
I didn't see a we cool on the end of this.
Nothing wrong with extending a hand in friendship, extending the olive branch.
Okay.
It could only help relations between the whites and all the others.
All right, it just seems to me, you know, call me crazy, that the state of New Jersey may have other problems it should be addressing.
I don't think the state of New Jersey went far enough, and we said that when we met with them. We think we, as white people, need to apologize for a lot more things than just slavery.
Well, I think it's kind of rare that they actually even apologize for slavery. What do you mean they should have gone further?
Well, exactly. First, that's just the first step. There's a lot of things we need to apologize for.
Like what?
We're sorry we gave you such unimaginative surnames when we changed your names from Africa.
What do you mean?
Well, Jones, Washington, Jackson, Brown. Seriously, Brown? We gave them these names. We could have put a little more thought into it. Now they're all stuck with them.
Right.
The Joneses, the Washingtons, the Jacksons, the Browns.
Right.
Can you imagine a family reunion for these people? It must be a nightmare.
Well,
I mean, no wonder they're making up such crazy names for their kids. We gave them crappy names to start with. Now they have to go to Qantas and Triceratops and other things they call their children.
So they're fighting back with crazy names now to get back at us.
They have to. Something to stand out. We gave them such blah surnames.
Okay, so that's something else that they should have
apologized. So we should apologize for that.
Okay.
We stuck them with those.
All right.
We should apologize that college is so hard.
What?
Oh. Well,
college
what are you talking
hard.
Well, it's hard for everybody, no matter what race you are.
Yeah, but seriously, come on. It's really hard.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying, sure, we give them, you know, the scholarships for football and basketball and stuff, but it's hard.
Okay. This is completely inappropriate, Bruce, what you're suggesting. There are a lot of very smart African-Americans who go through college.
We're sorry. We should say we're sorry for really screwing them when it comes to television.
What are you talking about?
First of all, we made that Cosby show so popular. That's got to put a lot of pressure on him.
Who's we? That was Cosby that did that.
But the white people watched it in droves. Oh, look at Bill. He's a doctor. He wears nice sweaters. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on a black family.
What are you talking about?
And then we go the other way. We go the other way, make it even worse by putting the worst of them on television after that. With the Flavor Flaves and the New Yorks and Tyra Banks and Oprah Winfrey. Do you really want to see those people representing your race on television?
All right. First of all, there are lots of...
We're sorry. We're
Bruce,
sorry is what we're
there
saying.
Are lots of different kinds of black people, just like there are lots of different kinds of every other race.
Okay, shut up. I've got more jokes. We're running out of time.
Okay.
We're sorry we stole your fried chicken.
Oh.
We stole it?
Yeah. That was theirs. And there, here we go, eating at a picnic and stuff. Just let them have that.
What?
I mean, I wouldn't like it if some blacks started playing golf at my country club. Seriously. Everyone should just have their own thing and own
Bruce,
it. They should be able to own it.
Black people play golf all the time, all over the country, dude.
Right. We're sorry we wear clothing that fits. That's got to make you feel awkward.
Come on. Have you run any of these ideas by anyone?
I'm just saying, it's got to make them feel awkward when we're walking down the street with pants around our waists.
Right.
And shirts that are the proper size for our bodies.
Right.
And then they have the whole thing where they're around their knees, giant, jumbo, extra large shirts and things. That's got to make them feel out of place. We're sorry.
Have you had any feedback from any of these ideas from anyone?
We're sorry we make crime so damned attractive.
What?
I mean, that's
our fault. Look, we go around flashing our money and our jewelry and our nice cars. I mean, it's just rude. No wonder they want to take them.
Wait a minute. Who's our? Because there are black people that are rich as well.
Okay, yeah. That's a big percentage. All right, let's talk about them.
For God's sake,
no,
Bruce.
Let's focus on that.
You're
those
supposed to be
people.
The expert.
I am an expert. We're sorry we can't join in with you yelling at the movie screen. We just can't do it. It's just not in our nature. Just not how we were raised. We'd like to. Looks like fun.
Can't do it.
Sorry.
I'm not comfortable.
Can't join you in there.
Apologizing for all this stuff.
Sorry about that, black folk. Also, we're sorry we stole your land and put you on the reservation.
Okay,
that was really out of line.
That's not even.
I apologize.
That's the American Indian.
Yeah.
What?
That's the American Indian.
It was the red ones?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, look, we've done so many horrible things to so many minorities, it's hard to keep track. You can hardly blame
me.
Well,
you're the expert, though, Bruce.
Well, let's just say it just in case there were any black Indians. Let's just cover that and say sorry about the whole reservation thing and the smallpox and the blanket.
Okay. It is time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Shockingly, we still pay you to call us. It's toll-free, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Get on the air, get a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. You know, for right now, you buy one day and you get all of 2008 for free. I don't know how they stay in business with deals like that. It doesn't even make any sense to me.
How about that?
But clearly they're making it work. So give us a call right now for Kevin and Bean's What It Do. Why don't we start with Chris in Long Beach, who wants to rip the lid off this MTV scandal that I don't think is getting enough attention.
All right, Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. What to do?
What to do, nephew? How you doing, Lisa May? Hey, I was on the internet on Sunday, and it turns out that the winner, they had an interview with the winner for the Tila Tequila Shot of Love show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Bobby. He says that the final date where they were supposed to get together, she never showed up.
Yeah, she never even gave him her phone number to contact.
She never gave him the phone number, but yet they renewed her show.
But I thought
they renewed her show, and she says on her article that she hopes that she can find a true shot of true love on the next series.
Yeah,
you know, she said she didn't even like the guy.
All right, let me see if I got this straight, though, Chris.
Whoa!
Can't really say that.
He went through all that stuff, and she just burned him. You know, I mean, and well, she even has a boyfriend. She's not even bisexual. She has a boyfriend she's been dating for a year.
Worst part is, on the final episode, she said, I went all through this to find true love, and I did. Bobby's my true love.
Oh,
we're so happy together.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the big F you to the audience, is that she played it up as if it was a success, and then she just blew the guy
off. You can't trust Tila Tequila, seriously, who can you trust?
And I'm sure that guy was in it for true love.
Sure.
Don't you think?
All of them.
You
guys,
it sounds like, and I don't want to accuse you of disparaging words here for Miss Tequila, but it sounds like you're accusing her of just being a fame-seeking whore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's safe. I think that's a safe bet.
And not to mention the Typhoid Mary of STDs, I think she is. She's patient zero for so many things.
Let's go to Abel in Culver City. Good morning, Abel.
What did it do, nephew?
What did it do?
What did it do?
So is there anything wrong with being a fame-seeking whore?
No, nothing at all.
No, okay.
That's good.
I just wanted to let you guys know what happened to me at work for the day. I'm having to go to the restroom and open the door, and I find my boss or my manager there just having at himself.
Really?
Just having his share of himself.
What's with the pole?
And he didn't lock the...
So did you help brother out?
I tried to give him a hand. But,
yeah,
you know,
did you? Yeah.
So I'd like to say that work's been a little more laid back lately.
I bet.
Really?
Not really what you want to see when you go into
well,
a job.
Well, it's an job. Of course it's more laid back.
It's what you want to see if you want a few perks at work. A little extra lunchtime, you know, maybe you take a day off. You don't get so much heat over it.
I'm taking Friday off. What do you think, boss?
It's a great idea, Steve. You enjoy yourself. Just let's keep the bathroom thing to ourselves. What do you say?
Thank you, Abel. Let's go to Marco, who wants to call about the smash hit Cucamonga Heat that Omar did and put up at YouTube. It's a junior college movie, and it's really awful.
What'd it do, nephew?
Marco, good morning.
Hi, Marco.
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
Man, Omar totally ripped off Pulp Fiction that whole movie, especially the part when he's talking and setting up the deal. He's talking, it's like Marcellus Wallace, Ving Rhames talking to Butch.
Good with point.
And the same song, same scenario, everything.
By the way, your complaint is it's not original enough? That's what the problem you have with Cucamonga Heat is?
Hey, quiet down, Ralph. You like the Eagles.
Good
That's
point.
Bad.
Wow, you got me there.
Omar,
what a bird.
Omar, who can talk inside my headphones, said, of course I did.
Yeah.
He's not even suggesting that he did.
But there's so many things wrong with that the lack of originality would be the last thing on the list I would take umbrage with.
Here's a little bit of the dialogue of Omar on the phone.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you... to go make a fake drug deal, all right?
I don't have time for that.
Oh, come on, you made my favorite part.
I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Double cross.
Everything's going to be okay, all right?
That is the strangest
line ever.
You can go to the Kevin Beach section at krock.com and look under the Internet Roundup to see the entire movie. I'd be surprised if there was anyone making a first film 10 years ago or however long ago it was that was not influenced by Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I mean, sure.
It was pretty hard to get away from at that point. Let's go to Franco in Bloomington, wherever that is. He's on line four. He has an etiquette question for us, guys.
Franco.
Hey, what it do, right, nephew? What it do, sexy baby boo?
Hey, Frank.
How are you?
Okay.
I got a question, if you can help me out.
Okay.
I went to this lady's house to clear her drain.
Yeah.
Because I'm a plumber.
Clear drain, yeah.
not that good.
Oh, sneaked her pipes.
No, yeah.
Okay, so explain the pink.
Yeah, she paid me for the, you know, to clean the drain.
Right.
And then she said, listen, why don't you come by my work, because I don't have any extra money to give you a tip, and I'll swing by my work. I'm a dancer at the Spermate Rhino in Hacienda Heights, and I'll give you a free lap dance.
Fantastic.
My dilemma is this. I've been married 17 years.
Who cares? Are you going to say what? You know. It's
Franco,
just a lap dance.
Have you never been to a strip club since you got married?
No, I've never been, period.
You've never been to a strip club?
Never. Wow. On my bachelor party, my brother-in-law took me to the winery in Temecula.
Okay.
Wow. Did you spill any wine on your dress while you were there?
What the hell?
Franco, are you aware that if you go to these places called strip clubs, that beautiful women will take their clothes off in front of you and gyrate on a stage? Are you aware that that's happening and you're missing it?
Yeah.
What's the name of your groom?
Huh?
Your groom.
You heard me.
Oh, no.
You haven't been to a strip club.
The girl told me her stage name is Pumpkin.
Well, then Pumpkin needs a little support, and she's offering to give you a tip.
Show
that's
up and
all.
Say, hi, I'm Peter Pumpkin Eater. That's what you say when you go there.
Well, let me give you a finish the rest for you. When I pulled out of the drain, it was a mainline stoppage. I pulled out feminine product.
Okay, now what are we talking about here? Are we talking
He's
about the real thing?
The drain.
Okay.
Start
out a drain. Yeah.
What does that have to do with the story?
He's cleaner stoppage up.
Well, feminine products are like, you know, the
Right, we know. We know what feminine products are.
So she clogged up her drain. You took care of it. That's not the important part of the story. The important part is what night are you going to the strip club to get your tip?
Well, she told me to swing by in the afternoon today. Yeah. She goes in.
Today?
Afternoons are the best, too, because it's not as crowded. You get a little more one-on-one time.
So I could do it?
Yes!
Okay. Well, it's not being unfaithful, right?
No,
it's not.
No.
Because
no,
I guarantee you, Pumpkin is not going to have you, clear the hair out of her trap while she's at work. You know what I'm saying?
You'll be fine, dude. All right?
I'm confused about what we're talking about now.
All right. Have your wife call us if there's any confusion, okay?
All right, thank you.
By the way, plumbers, best profession for double entendres there is.
There
by the
is,
way.
Isn't it?
Oh,
everything they say you can take.
You're
that's
laying
a good point.
Pipe, you're pulling your tool out of your bag, you're cleaning drains, and it's the best.
All right, look, I know that was a funny call. We all enjoyed it, and we ought to end it right there. We ought to just say goodbye and, hey, it was a good show. But we do have because we have a complaint, and I feel like, we should take the complaint. Richard is on the line from Monrovia. He is not a Kevin and Bean listener, but apparently is forced to listen to us and now is very upset about something.
What's the matter now?
Hey, Richard.
Yeah, what's up, Kevin and Bean? What it do, baby boo, man?
What it do, Richard?
I'm one of the few black people that probably listened to your show after what y'all just had with the whole slavery deal. And I'm forced to listen to y'all because my boss, he loves K-Rock. I'm a 506 fan myself, but I gotta
as are we.
To y'all.
That's what we
listen to during
commercials. We'd be listening to Big Boy right now if we could, but we can't.
Who makes up y'all skits, man?
That guy was
that
out of control.
Real,
don't you think
though?
That Bruce Endicott, he was way out of control. We do not condone that.
Because I'm like, man, I was like, I'm about to turn Mexican. Y'all made me feel bad.
but he was apologizing because it's the white man's fault.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just have a question for you. Can you turn Mexican? Turn that way?
I'm half Mexican, so I'm just going, just stay out the sun,
Pick the other side.
The Mexican half of you should have laughed at that.
And just drink a lot of Tecates, and I'll be good.
That's right.
It's all good.
Well, we are as outraged as you are, Richard. Seriously. We'll never have, we'll probably have him on again, but we were outraged by everything Mr. Endicott had to say today.
I forgive y'all.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
It's a
very
another
good
apology we have to make to the black man is having Bruce Endicott on the show.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Sorry your boss makes you listen, dude.
That and making crime so attractive. Those are the two things we need to apologize for today.
How great is it, though, to be biracial? You can just pick which side of the fence that day you're going to be on.
Yeah, that's great.
That's not me. I'm Mexican. Whoop. Not me. I'm black.
Like, let me tell you.
How often is he? He's white 107% of the time.
Yeah.
Until he needs to be Mexican, and all of a sudden.
Until I'm applying to college or I go to jail.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Mexican, man. Oh, look at me. What's
Orale.
Up,
hey. Pancho Villa. Hey.
All right.
Hey, Cactus.
Go Raiders.
What did you say,
Cactus? It's in the desert.
Oh, okay.
That's how they get here.
I'd like to bring up a certain young African-American who is making good use of being half black, half white by the name of Barack Obama, by the way. Talk about a guy who has convenience all over him.
Yes.
Let's face it, no matter who he's talking to, he can be the brother or he can be, hey, don't be afraid of me, I'm half white.
Right.
And it's totally working.
Same with Hillary Clinton.
I like African-American. I don't think it's the same with her.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Oh.
I want to thank our special guest, Mr. Drew Carey, for joining us on the program today. Power of 10 is his terrific game show coming back tonight at 8 on CBS. He, of course, is also the host of The Price is Right. Weekday mornings at 11 on CBS. Love Drew. Always great to have him on the show.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Scott Baio's on the program. Last year, Scott Baio is single and 45 and secretly has a girlfriend. This year, Scott Baio is 46 and pregnant.
Yep.
Even though they've already had the baby. That's right.
Is that true, too?
Yes. Yes, it is. A little bit of a lag time for when they finally air the show.
Is anything true about this show?
Long after he's dead, they'll have a show on VH1 called Scott Baio is Alive and Feeling Great.
Excellent. All right. Dr. Drew tomorrow about his new TV show, Celebrity Rehab. Uncle Frank. Jimmy's Uncle Frank. We talked to Jimmy Kimmel yesterday, and he told us that his Uncle Frank has had sex with over 500 women.
He's a virile man, that Uncle Frank.
He seems like the King of Mexico of Jimmy's show, though. Nice, unassuming, probably had sex twice in his life. Nope, not the case.
Jimmy Kimmel told us yesterday that his Uncle Frank has had more sex in his 70s than Jimmy has had his entire life. So we got to find out what's up with that.
Also tomorrow, we are going to talk to the creator of Cloverfield, along with the creator of Lost, J.J. Abrams.
Great.
Fantastic.
Can't wait for that. And more of our Breakfast with Foo Fighter tickets tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, we got a bunch of different ways for you to win them tomorrow. I guess Cat Corbett is still out sick, and our friend Jed the Fish is coming up next. Jed, what are you going to be playing as part of your 40 minutes?
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-Rock, Jed the Fish here. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Send in the Clowns, the Paul Oakenfold remix, plus a Bronski Beat box set that I can't wait to expose to you.
Do you know
that the Swedish word for sausage is shoymez, and the molecular weight of nickel is 75 kilograms.